information, visit inglis.com.au. Inglis Eastern, the best of the best.
Kim Cartwright. Tragedy has struck in flood-ravaged southeast Queensland with a missing 77-year-old man found dead. As floodwaters threatened hundreds of properties in Logan, the body of Eagleby man Nelson Rabel was found by emergency crews yesterday afternoon, becoming the state's first victim following ex-tropical cyclone Debbie. Several others are still missing, including 50-year-old David Heideman and a man in his 60s who went bushwalking at Lamington National Park. Yesterday, the Logan River experienced its biggest peak in 43 years, matching 1974 levels when it reached 10 metres at Waterford. Central Queensland residents are preparing for the biggest flood to hit Rockhampton in 63 years, while southeast parts of the state begin mopping up. Floodwaters could swamp more than 3,000 homes and 1,500 businesses in Rockhampton by Wednesday. The Fitzroy River is expected to peak at 9.5 metres, which is bigger than the 2011 and 1991 floods and equal to the 1954 flood. Queensland Premier Anastasia Palaszczuk.
This is going to be big. Some people living in this town have not seen a flood of this magnitude because the last time was in 1954. We could see over 3,000 residential homes impacted. We could see over 1,500 businesses. So now is the time to prepare and now is the time to get ready.
An emergency services team from South Australia has been sent to assist in flood-ravaged northern New South Wales. The team, comprising 21 damage assessment specialists from the SES, police and fire services, will be deployed to the Richmond Tweed area and will assist New South Wales SES as it responds to significant flooding and property damage resulting from the Category 4 storm in the northern parts of the state. They will help record the location and severity of damage to buildings, roads, bridges and other critical infrastructure, such as schools, hospitals and sewerage systems. The budget on the Swan River footbridge has blown out by a staggering $16 million as the new West Australian government comes to grips with a one-year delay on the project. The reported cost has soared from $54 million to $70 million and construction won't be completed until the end of this year, which puts the new venue hosting an ashes test in jeopardy. The delay is reportedly due to fabrication issues in Malaysia, with significant delays to steel shipment dates, a result of a legal stoush between overseas companies involved in the fabrication. To the US, and the White House has disclosed details about the personal wealth of some key members of President Donald Trump's team. The BBC's Michael Duncan reports.
The disclosures, which are a legal requirement, show that President Trump's daughter Ivanka and her husband are worth at least $200 million. They also reveal that his top economic advisor Gary Cohn, who was president of Goldman Sachs, is worth more than $230 million. The White House has tried to make a virtue of the team's wealth, saying that they had given up a lot to come into government. But critics point out that while Mr. Trump campaigned as a champion of the working class, he has surrounded himself with a circle of advisers who come from the financial elite.
Also in news, a 76-year-old Warwick man has died a few days after he was admitted to hospital following a crash on the Cunningham Highway in Worrallview, 60 kilometres northwest of Bow Desert. The man sustained life-threatening injuries in the two-vehicle smash with a tow truck on March 27. This is AIR News. The Kookaburras have beaten Pakistan in a seesawing test to claim the International Hockey Open in Darwin. It took the Australians until late in the third quarter to claim the lead. In the final minute of play, a superb piece of teamwork saw Matt Dawson and Josh Pollard work the ball down to the Kookaburras circle before Flynn Ogilvy made a tricky aerial flick that soared into the goal, leading the final score at 5-3. The Kookaburras will take part next in the Aslan Shah Cup in Malaysia at the end of April. Attacking duo Joe Harton and Susan Pettit have hoisted the Giants to a come-from-behind 59-56 win over local rivals the Swifts to consolidate their place atop the Super Netball ladder. In a gripping finale to last night's Round 7 derby at Sydney Olympic Park, the Giants turned a six-goal deficit nearing three-quarter time into a 50-49 lead with 7 minutes remaining. The Swifts had rallied to pinch the lead in each of the opening two quarters but ran out of answers against the experienced Giants, who made the big moments count to earn a 17-10 deciding term. North Melbourne coach Brad Scott is hoping Magic Door will seize the chance to cement his spot in their best 22 when the athletic ruck forward returns for the Kangaroos today against Geelong. He's replacing veteran Jared Waite, who will miss up to 6 weeks after injuring his shoulder during the Roos' opening round AFL loss to West Coast. Yesterday, West Coast, Essendon, GWS and Adelaide all posted wins, while in the NRL, the Raiders, Sharks and Storm were victorious. Australian Independent Radio News.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Sydney's weather today, partly cloudy. There's a chance of showers near the coast and some out west. Winds southerly 15 to 25 k's, reaching 35 k's along the coast. So possible rainfall, Jimmy, 1 to 3 mils. So looking at a pretty nice Sunday. Sydney's heading for a top temperature of 22 degrees. What's the current temperature, Jim, at Warunga and also at Wagga today?
Racing today at Wagga Wagga, Raymond. Warunga right now, 14 degrees, a little bit cooler Coolish. Than it has been. Yeah, there's a bit of a change there, a maximum of 18 degrees and maybe a shower around that one as well. And if you want to look at Wagga Wagga and in the Riverina of New South Wales, and it's going to be a day that finally comes up after being a little bit slow on the computer there. It's becoming cloudy and 23 degrees. Smooth as a barbed wire sandwich.
You're ready for
Raymond.
That
23 degrees.
Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome along to the program. Great to have you part of it. Hope you enjoyed your extra hour sleeping this morning. I know I did. What about you, Raymond?
Fantastic.
So just confirming, when did you set the alarm this morning?
4:46.
4:46, that's right. Can't do odd numbers. That'd be too much, wouldn't it?
Ah, you've I know been you're going
yes,
with this.
Exactly.
Yes,
exactly. And what did you have for breakfast?
Had a puff week. Oh, I could see where you're coming
you've
with this.
You set up a talk topic
you've
for
set
us,
up
Raymond.
This thing. You've set me up straight away.
I have not. Come on, mate. I wouldn't do that. Welcome to the program. We're going to have 3 hours of fun. And hope you can be a part of it as well. 1353 53 is the open line number. Sometimes we'll talk about sport too. 0419 SMS BSB. That's 0419 767 272. We've already had people wanting to get involved in the program. Get us on Twitter as well at Big Sports WEND at Big Sports WEND. Big day yesterday at Royal Randwick, and that's going to dominate the first half of the program. But John O'Shea will be along. It somewhat was probably not the winner he was hoping for or thinking he might get yesterday at HQ, but it happened for him in a Doncaster. That's the third time he's won it. So not new territory, but he would have been very happy with his performance of It Somewhat. Peter Snowden had a very good winner in Invader. Had another one too, Akator. But this is a bit bittersweet, isn't it, about what could have been with the golden slipper for P&P Snowden. We'll have a chat to Pete about that. John Hawks, wow. Just wow. The whole Hawks yard, Tommy Berry, the owners, the connections, the strappers, anyone involved in that performance of Chautauqua yesterday, take a bow.
Have to shake your head, don't you?
Oh.
You've watched it, haven't you? Because when I rang you last night, you were on the road back from Canberra. From
yeah,
the Canberra match.
Hadn't watched it. I've watched it now subsequently three times.
Your thoughts?
Similar to Gay Waterhouse. For different reasons, Ray.
It was
for
stunning,
different reasons.
Yeah,
and if you want to find out Gay Waterhouse's reaction to the win of Chautauqua, please go to her Twitter handle. At Gay Waterhouse 1, at Gay Waterhouse 1.
It's raw
where
emotion.
She thought English, her horse English, was going to win. It didn't. Because Chautauqua, the great grey, jumped out of, I don't know where.
Is phenomenal.
Tight on the turn and then middle of the track, the toughest going Ray, and then and this horse just, I'd love, John probably hasn't, but I'm going to ask John about the sectionals and just try and understand how it happened.
20,000 plus at Randwick yesterday.
Yeah.
Finally got a feature race day with some sunshine, Jimmy, and it was a fantastic afternoon. Look, the track was wet, we know that.
Yes.
Had to put up with that.
Yeah.
But how he managed to win that race, given that there was a track bias out wide, simply a stunning performance.
Mm.
And
mm.
Look, I think it's his greatest performance. I don't know if John Hawkes believes it is. We'll ask him later.
Better than Hong Kong?
I reckon Hong Kong might be the one that they put on top, but we'll ask him that later.
Yep.
But stunning performance. And then, of course, Jon Snow wins the Derby as well. So four Group 1s on the day. Fantastic racing. And it sets it up, Jimmy, for next Saturday, Winx's final run of the season.
How'd she run yesterday?
She's out for...
Well, she's just
by the cobwebs away,
right,
yeah.
Right.
And again, people clapping her as she zoomed past. It's great. She's fantastic for racing.
Fantastic, isn't it? Phil Moss will be in. Great to have Mossy in. Disappointment all round, really. Because Liverpool have won. And Man United have drawn.
Cutting the crown, Jimmy.
It's now at
six points.
Two games in hand, though.
Mm.
Two games in hand. So hopefully we can make up that deficit.
0-0 West Brom for your men.
Yeah, I know. What's going on? Dean Ritchie will be giving us all the latest in the world of rugby league. Also, Zorba will be on. By the way, Zorba Zappa last week got up. Thanks very much.
He's in form, the great man.
He is, absolutely. So there you go. I hope you got a hold of a little bit of that. And that was Storm minus 6.5. Well, didn't they make you sweat for it in that game against the West Tigers last week? The Dragons plus 1.5. Well, that was never in doubt against the Warriors. Trent Lansgale will be on from tab.com.au. We'll get a sports update from Tanya. Josh Brilliante. They're just carrying all before the Sydney FC in what is a outstanding, remarkable season.
Record-breaking season.
Record-breaking.
They've got 3 points, and they'll catch Brisbane's record for most points in a season. They are absolutely flying. 3-0. I tell you who's gaining momentum, though. The Wanderers.
Wanderers, here they come.
They're scoring goals. They keep winning now. Only team to beat Sydney FC all season in the A-League. So
well, they finally got to know each other. It's a brand new squad every year from
I guess
Tony Popovich, and they finally went, oh, it's Trevor, isn't it? Is it Trevor? Yeah.
Well, they're playing good footy now, and they're a chance. Talk about playing good footy. I know you were in the car last night, Jimmy. When you rang me, I said, look, if Penrith can score here, we're back in the ball game. It was 16-6, so just need to get some field position. Well, they had it, Jim, for about 20 minutes. They were camped on the Storm's line. They were unbelievable last night, Melbourne Storm. They are an awesome football team. Penrith threw everything at them. The scoreline 28-6, I don't think reflects the intensity and the closeness of the contest. But try as they might, Penrith just couldn't score. Jim got the ball over the line a couple of times, held up, dropped balls, etc. The Storm just didn't look like cracking, and that's why they're premiership favourites, particularly now the Roosters did suffer their first defeat in another cracking game of football against the Eagles, 18-12. But the Storm's defence, I know you haven't seen it yet, Jim. Cause what time did you get home last night, by the way?
12:45.
And why is that?
Oh. Well, I drove back from Canberra.
Would you lose a weight or something, did you?
No, I had to drop...
To you my way, Jim.
I had to drop Stephen Blocker-Roach, Brenton Speed and
Malcolm
Middleton back to the hotel.
Okay. Oh, in Canberra. Okay.
In Canberra, so I couldn't get going straight away. Then I finally got going, and then we get to just outside of Campbelltown, and there was roadworks on the Hume Highway. So we went via Narellan, and went via Narellan and the Camden Valley Way, which was choked with traffic because of the roadworks on the Hume Highway. And then by the time I got back to the rent a car place at the airport,
probably
it was shut. It was shut.
This is the milk run from hell, this
and
one.
Then the Blue Emu bus had stopped. So I had to go, seriously.
Things are
there was a monitor there. There was like a TV screen there that said the Blue, and that you could see the Blue Emu's coming, but at this stage it was midnight, and then the Blue Emu just stopped outside Terminal 1. I'm outside Terminal 3.
Is it coming to get you?
And I waited. Oh, right. Picked up my bag, then walked over to the bus, had to... bus driver was having a little bit of a nap. I said, excuse me, are you still running to the Blue Emu? Oh, she said, yes, no worries. I'll take you to the Blue Emu. So she took me to the Blue Emu. So by the time I got home, it was a little late. So no one is enjoying that extra hour sleeping more than me, Raymond. I'll tell you what, between your commentary and Andrew Moore and Andrew Ryan and Andrew Mays and every other Andrew in the country that was on the ABC last night covering, it spoke of the quality of the game. Everyone talked about how well the Panthers played, but the Storm win 28 points to 6.
I reckon Penrith, I might be looking at bias, tell me, Jimmy, I think Penrith might take a lot out of that game because the one thing they'll learn is patience. They were trying to score off every play. They were trying to They're a brilliantly attacking side, the Panthers, but the Storm are just patient and methodical. They just wear you down, and their defence is fantastic. I'm sure the Panthers can learn off it, but still, there's a fair gulf in terms of the Storm and the Panthers.
No, Raiders and Eels. You're right, Ray, you are, boss.
Yeah,
so.
Okay. Raiders and Eels. Well, I haven't had a chance to watch that one yet because I was at the races. What was the
Raiders lead 22 points to 6 at half time. Probably could have been more than that. It was that right edge again. Joey Leilua and Jordan Rapana. Just thrilling. Just thrilling what they can do. Parramatta had their chances in the first half, but you just got the feeling that they get away with it. But to their great credit, it was an incredible 40-20 from Corey Norman again. And then a couple of, Canberra got a little loose and turned over some footy and gave away some penalties. And next thing you know, they're right back in at 22 points to 18. But too strong in the end. Jared Croker scored his 100th try.
Great play, Jared Croker.
Didn't get a chance to say it during the course of the broadcast, so I'll say it now. He's 26 years and 203 days old, right? He has, since he's debuted, he didn't kick goals in his first year. Terry Campese did in 2009. He's kicked goals since. He's averaged just over 200 points per year.
Point scoring machine.
He's got minimum 6 years left in him. He will obliterate Hazem El Masri's point scoring record of all time. He will obliterate it.
And don't forget, the first few years he was playing the struggling Raiders team. So he literally has been a point scoring machine. They're great to watch, the Raiders. Also, haven't seen the Sharks and Knights yesterday afternoon. The Knights, very, very brave. James Maloney gets the field goal, 19-18. Did you see any of that match?
Saw a bit of it. I was obviously at work for that one, but for them to be down 18 points to 6, the Knights, and get back, you know, they had 40% possession. They had no football.
They turned the corner of the Knights, and Nathan Brown's got something going there. You know,
like absolutely.
They'll have bad moments, of course, but they're having more good moments having bad this season, and they're on the improve.
Bulldogs 10, Broncos 7. If you think that's all hunky-dory and away we go, Dez is our man, then think again, because
see a new contract, Jim.
If he gets a contract on the back, if they come out and say, we're giving him a contract on the back of that, then they're grossly misleading everyone. It'd be more like the West Tigers than the West Tigers.
That was the tip.
Seagulls 18 over the Roosters 12. High quality game. Excellent performance from the Seagulls. We'll talk to Zorb about that. And the Cowboys 20 points.
Turn that around, isn't it? 0-2. Now 3-2. And
the Rabbitohs,
going well.
Warriors Titans today. Tigers Dragons. Disappointment for the Sydney Swans on Friday. They are struggling. Buddy got them back in the game, and they couldn't hang on for that. So well done to the Western Bulldogs. Bob Murphy. Good to see him running around, isn't it? Missed out on the premiership. Got the premiership ring, but missed out on the premiership. So. That's a disappointment there as well. GWS had a bit of a training run against
the
Gold
Coast. That's their first 100-point-plus win.
There you go. So after the disappointment of the first round where they lost and everyone thought they were going to be winning.
Yes. And they are a good football side. Danger signs of the Gold Coast. Gary Ablett back and all. And look, beaten by over 102 points.
8,000 there at the showground. So disappointment from the GWS point of view with that as well. Congratulations, Chris Hynington, on his 300th game. That's an incredible feat. Incredible feat. So some really good milestones. You know what I love too? I was thinking about that win, the Storm, 28 points to 6 over the Panthers. And Ray, Josh Addo-Carr scored a try. You said it was a really good one too, right?
Brilliant.
I just heard it. And it makes you think about, what is it about the Melbourne system that makes these players come down here, there, and play better?
You would know a lot more than me, but I've got to come back to the coach.
Of course.
And the influence that Craig Bellamy has.
Yes.
Extracts every last drop. He squeezes that lemon dry at every player and gets the best out of them he possibly can. And that team ethos, it's extraordinary, isn't it?
Well, who made who? Cameron Smith and Cooper Cronk and Billy Slater are great players.
They make Bellamy or vice versa.
You know, I'm sure there's bits of both in there. And Cooper Cronk very humbly said when he played his 300th game, look, if I didn't have Craig, I'd be a 150-game player. That's what he said. So
says it all,
very,
doesn't
very
it?
Humbly. Yeah. But Josh Addo-Carr, you had massive lair in him. You know, the celebrations after tries and all of that. So, the massive lair when he was playing at the West Tigers. When he went to the Melbourne Storm, no one will tell me who said it, but I'm going to presume it's the coach.
Okay.
He said, Josh, by all means, celebrate your tries, but only after you've thanked every one of your teammates that's got you there. And it's just
that's
bang.
That's so profound, isn't it?
Exactly. Yeah, it's so like, profound. Remember how you got there, son.
He wanted to celebrate last night, Jim.
Did he?
It was a brilliant 55, 60-metre run to score. But no, he didn't. He didn't go over the top.
And we're going to celebrate this morning too. We're going to celebrate the idiosyncrasies of some of our sporting stars, right? Given the fact that you got up at 4:46 and had your puff wheat, right? So people have their own different behavioural things.
What are you saying?
All I'm saying is that, for example, John Hawkes stays at home, doesn't go to the races.
Doesn't like the maddening crowds.
Doesn't like the right. We're going to touch on that a little bit closely.
Okay, that just
we're just going to find out about why. But the idiosyncrasies of the sports stars. So Jack Russell is the one for me. Jack Russell, former English wicketkeeper, used to wear the same hat the whole time, paints in cricket scenes. He would drink 38 cups of tea in a day. He trained for a tour of India.
38 in a day?
Yeah, he trained for a tour of India in a sauna, just to get used to it. So, he soaks his Weet-Bix in milk for 8 minutes every time. And when you go and visit him at his house, Ray, he blindfolds you.
What?
You go back and visit him. He blindfolds you.
That's supposed to know where he lives.
Yeah, so you don't know where he lives. Yeah.
All I can think of, top of my head's Rafael Nadal, who, by the way, is playing Roger Federer in another classic tomorrow morning at Miami.
Stop it.
Federer v. Kyrgios yesterday. 3 tie breaks, and they say it's one of the all-time great matches.
So playing good tennis, Nick Kyrgios.
Yeah, and so is Roger. Rafael Nadal, he's got so many idiosyncrasies, apart from pointing his underpants out, the way he wipes his face and his hair.
Yeah.
The way he lines, ever seen him line his drink bottles up?
Yes, I have.
And they're in exactly the same position.
Yeah.
And he has his sports drink next to his water bottle, and he always has a sip of his sports drink first, then his water bottle next.
Yeah. I mean, it's very strange. I'd imagine that Rafael Nadal gets up at 4:46 in the morning and has puffed wheat. I'm only guessing that.
What are you saying?
But that's all I'm saying.
Yes. Before we go to our first ad break, panel operator Hamish isn't in this morning. Very good reason why Nick's coming to help us out today. He and his lovely wife had a little baby boy yesterday.
Congratulations, Hamish and Leanne, especially Leanne, mums. Congratulations. Little Patrick came into the world yesterday. So
third boy, I think.
Well done all round, yeah.
Congratulations, Hamish and Leanne. And,
couple more, you've got a basketball team, Hamish. So, yeah, just think about that, Leanne. 1353-53 is the open line number. We'll take a break, and after the break, we'll be back with John O'Shea.
Sky Sports Radio covers the very best in New South Wales thoroughbred racing. This Friday, we're off to Orange for the city's biggest race day of the year. Friday morning at 10, get the cup winners for the country showcase meeting at Orange, here on Sky Sports Radio.
All covered, all ground, all beaten. Franco won the champion stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network.
Hi, James Treble here for Planet Ark. Around half the waste created by business ends up in landfill, which means Australian businesses are throwing away money on poor waste management and missing out on all of the benefits of recycling, like gaining a competitive edge and happier staff. But Planet Ark can help you make the business case for less waste with free information and resources. Go to businessrecycling.com.au or call the hotline on 1300 763 768.
If you buy a new fridge or washing machine at Bingley, we've got a surprise for you. We'll deliver your fridge or washer free. We'll unbox it and unpack it free. We'll take away the packaging free. And Mum will take away your old fridge or washer free. So there's no messy trip to the tip for you.
I heard that, Lionel.
Okay, our delivery guys will. But it's only for a limited time, so be quick. Free full-service delivery from Bingley.
Excludes Asco and Miller. Delivery areas and times are subject to terms and conditions. See in-store or bingley.com.au for full details.
The Inglis Australian Easter Yearling Sale is the benchmark sale for the thoroughbred industry. Join the Big Sports Breakfast and Racing HQ live from Newmarket, Sydney as the hammer falls this Tuesday through Thursday. Throughout the morning, we'll be in the thick of the action and hear from the bidders, the buyers and the sellers. The Big Sports Breakfast and Racing HQ live from Newmarket, 5:30 a.m. till 10 this Tuesday through Thursday right here on Sky Sports Radio.
Hold on!
Hun, your Superfund statement came in the mail.
Oh, thanks.
And another one, and another. How many do you have?
Lost track of your super? Paying a fortune in fees? Combine all your funds into one low-fee account with Lucrative Super. It's easy, and they'll do it all for you.
Mail truck's backing up, babe.
Oh, more super statements?
Yep.
Take control of your super with Lucrative Super. You'll see their name on the backside of every jockey this autumn. Jump online today and search for Jockey's Backside.
Consider the PDS on our website before deciding to join.
Now
listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Just to let you know too, we've got Royal Easter Show tickets to give away, courtesy of the Royal Easter Show, the Sydney Royal Easter Show. They're 4 adult passes, Raymond, so you don't necessarily have to
take the family.
You could, or you could take 3 mates.
You want to take the family.
Take your 3 girlfriends, whatever it is. No, not yet. $166 worth of value there. $166, all courtesy.
We'll find out.
between the 6th and the 19th of April, okay? 4 adult passes. Best contribution to the show. And, of course, you can get those tickets at eastershow.com.au.
They're going to find out one day, you know that, don't you, Jim?
Let's move along, Ray. Nothing to see.
Yeah, I hope the boys aren't listening. Hey, plenty to see at Randwick yesterday. Oh. It was an extraordinary day of racing. We saw some amazing highlights. I went to the races thinking Godolphin were going to have a big day, Jim.
You said that to me on the phone, yeah.
I was really looking forward to seeing Eusebio run, etc. The track didn't help some of John's horses, but you've got to learn to play with this. And a bit of a masterstroke with it somewhat. Gets out, very hard to lead all the way and win a Doncaster, but a great ride by Zach Purton. And he was really tough late. Did you see the Doncaster, Jim?
I did, absolutely.
He was really tough late. He was challenged by Happy Clapper. He hung in there. John O'Shea's 3rd Doncaster in about 12 years. A fantastic record and what I think is the 5th major in Australian racing. And John's been good enough to join us. John, good morning. Congratulations. And firstly, was I right in saying you would have been going to the races yesterday? Pretty confident the stable were going to be in the mix in most of the big ones?
Yeah, we went there with a nice bunch of horses, boys. But it was evident sort of after the first couple that, you know, we had to sort of ride the track, and we weren't doing that in the early part of the day. So one of the few horses that we had that was going to get to the right spot was it somewhat. So we knew he was ready to run the race, and so we just said to Zach, well, you better sort of give him a dig in the ribs and try and put him into the right spot. And he did that, and, you know, the rest is history.
John, do you have a comment on the track, or indeed a comment that we can actually broadcast at this time on a Sunday morning, or we're a family program?
Yeah, no, look, I think the boys have done a wonderful job that track. They've changed the draining system of it, and as a result, it's riding a lot different to what we've ridden, since for the last sort of 10 years. So we've got to adapt to it now, and sort of Randwick's always been, you know, when it's sort of that slow to heavy runs, it's usually better to sort of get a little cover and then peel to the centre, and that's how we've ridden that track for a good period of time now, Jimmy, but Navesh and Lindsay, since they've sort of taken over from Turnpo, they've been able to run their own race. They've sort of gone about and changed the drainage of it and really done a great job on it, to be fair. So it's just a matter of us adapting to how the track now plays with the changing conditions.
Yeah,
and,
right.
And that's all it is, mate. You know, it's not... But considering the rain that we've had here over the last, you know, 2 to 3 months, they've done a wonderful job. Under trying conditions, and when you get a little bit of bias like that, it's just a matter of adapting to it.
Well, Zach Purton certainly did that yesterday. John, I mentioned last week you're getting a handle on these imports, but here's another Group 1 winner that you've managed to develop from horses sent down to you as tried horses from Europe. What is the key, John?
Oh, look, I said the other day, Ray, I think a combination of a few things, a bit of a drop in grade. You know, it's someone who was used as a pacemaker, I think, in an Eclipse Stakes and held on and run third. So that's a bit of a drop in grade for him. He gets well placed in terms of being into handicaps, and we've got such a proliferation of prize money here at that level in handicaps. So it's good for him to, you know, accumulate good prize money. And then we have the luxury of a wonderful team of people who run Osborne Park for us, and you know, it's anyone, as you know, Ray, it's horse heaven, and gives us a nice advantage for those sort of horses.
Is winning a Doncaster feel different third time around? Private Steer 2004, Racing to Win 2006. I know they'd be all special, John, but is it different given the team you have now with Godolphin?
Oh, no, they're all pretty special, Jim. You know, like as Ray said, it's got the 5th major now, and you know, look, it's really rewarding when you see the faces of the staff who get out of bed at 4 o'clock every morning. You know, they're just ecstatic. And, you know, it's somewhat scrapper. Is a bloke by the name of George Reed, who, without being too disrespectful, George is probably very close to 70, if not a touch thereabouts. He's been in the game for a very long time. And, you know, for him yesterday, it was just a very emotional time when he strapped the Doncaster in. So, you know, look, that sort of stuff is real close for him. You know, to see when you walk in the yard this morning at 6 o'clock, the place is buzzing, you know. So, they're all, you know, they all bought in and it was a good result.
Yeah, no, pretty special winner, Doncaster, anytime. John, you did make mention after the race, you felt a bit sorry for Joe Moreira because if Spectroscope hadn't have won last week, he could well have been riding it somewhat.
Yeah, well, he was booked on it somewhat, Ray, so, you know, like, it's not terrible, but anyway.
What do you do?
You know, he's very circumspect. Joe, he says, you know, what you don't get pick up on the merry-go-round, you pick up on the hurdy-gurdy. And so, you know, hopefully, like we did with Zach, we sort of owed him a good ride. At some stage down the line, I'm sure we'll find a nice ride to Joe to thank him for helping us out during the carnival. Mm.
Hey, John, you know we love having you on the program. Last week, you know, we had to ask you about one of the horses that unfortunately was put down after a race yesterday, and last week, and you made this comment.
I've got no idea, Jimmy.
And what it's done is producer Jeremy has immediately heard that, and now it's going to feature quite heavily throughout the program. Just whenever I disagree with Ray Thomas, you'll be able to hear this.
Got no idea, Jimmy.
So I'd like to thank you for making a strong contribution to the program that's now going to be on a weekly basis.
Well, thanks, Jim. You know, obviously in light of the heavy payment schedule that I'm on when I come on your program, it's always good to see. But I'm getting used to some value.
Well, now you can up the ante now, John. Charge a bit more.
Please, John, expect, what do they call when they keep rolling over, the payment
schedule? Perpetuity.
In perpetuity, mm. Yeah. You know, when the actors appear on ads and they keep having to pay them every 3 months, or all that sort of thing. So, you know, things are looking up, John. Not only can you win a Doncaster, but, you know, the payment will increase here at Big Sports Breakfast Weekend.
I'm surprised you can fit me under the salary.
And the Cowboys had a good win too, John, so it's kept a pretty good weekend for you.
It's been a great weekend, Ray, and hopefully, you know, we can keep chipping away throughout the carnival. And it's not over yet. We've still got 2 or 3 months of sort of pretty strong racing and group racing, so it'd be nice for a team of people here that they keep chipping away and find the odd nice wins.
Terrific, John. I think that's the fourth Group 1 for the season. 150 wins already this season, so it's been a terrific season so far for Godolphin. Thanks for joining us, John, and hope to talk to you again during the carnival.
Thanks, boys, and hopefully, I'm speaking to you each Sunday. It's been a good weekend, so I'm happy to do it. And
thanks, John.
Let me assure you, you're not under the cap. You're our marquee player, so you don't count. So. Good on you, John. John O'Shea there, winner. It's somewhat the Doncaster, the third in his career. Just a very special moment for him. 13:53:53, the open line number. Let's get to who else but Doug. G'day, Dougie.
G'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray.
Good morning, Doug.
What do you got for us, Doug?
Got about the West Indies captain and Steve Smith. They never get on well. What's happened there, mate? Not good sportsmanship, or what's happened?
I reckon Virat Kohli would be a hard man to get on with, wouldn't he, if you're in the opposition.
And if I was Virat Kohli, Doug, who cares if the captain of Australia didn't get on with me? Or who cares if all of Australia didn't like me? Mm. Would it worry you too much?
Not if you're winning. You've just got to be good sportsmanship, Mike. Like halfback for Melbourne, he's got a good heart too. What's his name?
Cooper Cronk
is a very nice man, I believe. You know, good attitude and good behaviour.
He's an exceptional professional. Is the way to describe Cooper Cronk, I think.
And before I go, I sent you a CD, the DVD of Wrestling Raw 2009.
Producer Jeremy told me all about it, and I think it's going to arrive next week. And I look forward to getting it next Sunday, mate. And I'll have a look
CDs
at that, Dougie. What's that?
You got 3 CDs in it.
Oh,
a box set.
Fantastic. Fantastic. I'll get some of those. I'll learn some moves there, and I'll get stuck into Ray during the ad breaks here.
Share around with Ray.
Yeah, absolutely.
Thanks a lot, Doug.
Good on you, Doug. Appreciate the call there. Seriously, we could get some wrestling moves going, don't you reckon?
About 20 kilos on me.
They reckon. I was listening to, I was talking to Brett White, who's the under-20s coach, the former New South Wales and Australian front rower, Canberra Raiders. He said, Dave Taylor is 125 kilos. They don't get him to lift a weight. But what he does for his strength training is wrestling with Brett White.
So
seeing those two go at it.
Jeez.
Can you imagine it?
So he can't lift weights because he's just too big.
He'll just
now.
Get too big.
Too big.
He'll just get too big. He's, you should see him. He's a massive man. Anyway, he'd probably look all right in a blue and white jersey of the Bulldogs, wouldn't he? Wonder what our next caller has to say about that. Hello, Adrian.
Yeah, g'day, Jimmy. G'day, Ray.
Magnificent win by the Bulldogs on Thursday night. Gee, didn't they play well?
I heard your comments earlier. I agree 100%. I mean, you know, you wouldn't extend Des Hasler's contract on that performance.
No.
It was a gritty win, but the Broncos, probably worst effort I've ever seen put in a couple of years.
Well, Jordan Kahu, I mean...
Yeah, that's the dumbest thing I've ever seen, I think.
Oh, it's just a brain snap. I don't know.
Have you seen anything more stupid than that?
Oh, a couple of things that Ray and Jeremy get up to in the breaks here, but not on a rugby league field, no.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
Just a quick comment on cricket before I talk about rugby league.
Yeah.
If you look at the... If you said before the series that... You know, Virat Kohli won't score a run.
Mm-hmm.
You win three out of the four tosses, and
you'd think we win, wouldn't you, Adrian?
And you trounce them in the, and you go into the second test up. That's absolutely trounce them in the first test. You'd think you'd at least draw the series, wouldn't you?
And we're on top in the second test for much of that test as
and
well.
And the other thing too, Ray, I've got to pick you up on. I mean, if Virat Kohli had, and I'm really pleased that Steve Smith apologised, but if Virat Kohli had sought an advantage from the dressing room on that DRS, and then mouth the words, effing C, cheat, you know.
It's a good point. What would we think of Virat Kohli?
Well, exactly right. Yeah. So that's why, you know, what Steve Smith did was appalling, but I do take my hat off for him for apologising. Just on the rugby league, I predicted Manly, actually picked them to beat the Roosters. Manly are a really good team. They've got a great, excellent roster. I think Manly and the Dragons, whilst they may not, I think they can both win the competition.
The competition.
It'll be tough.
Gee,
they're not like the leading, you know, times like a Storm, and you know, might throw the Roosters in there and so forth. But yeah, I reckon they both can definitely win. Both of them got excellent rosters.
Well, strong Adrian, packs. If you believe that, we have a website here at work called tab.com.au, and you're able to place money.
What are they, Roger, Jimmy?
I'm just getting to them. you know, you are able to do that. Of course, if you were to do it, do it responsibly.
Well done.
Adrian. So there you go. $5 Melbourne. Roosters.
No. It's the drag. What I'll do the drag.
Listen, mate. I'll tell you what. Sorry. You fade him down, Nick. This is not on with Hamish a lot. But when he goes too long, that bloke Adrian, we like to fade him down a bit earlier. Okay? So, Adrian, what I'll do is I'll read out the other prices that are, and then I'll get to the ones that you mentioned. Okay? Melbourne, $5. The Roosters, $6.50. Canberra, $8. Right? Then you've got North Queensland and Penrith at $9, Brisbane at $11. Oh, Adrian, I hope you're still listening, because Manly are at $15 and St George Illawarra are at $21, just to give you some sort of insight. And I hope we answered all your questions and you got to all the points that you wanted to make this morning, Adrian. Hope we didn't upset you. 1353-53, the open line number. A break and back with race replays, Raymond.
Day one of the championship supplied some of the best racing we've seen.
Now all eyes are on day two.
Here's Sweet 16 for Winks.
Will champion mare Winx make it a sizzling 17 straight in the Queen Elizabeth this Saturday? Plus, there's the Australian Oaks,
Coolmore Legacy,
and the $400,000 Provincial Championships Final. Every day, Racing HQ will bring you all the latest. Then Saturday, we're live from Randwick all day. Sky Sports Radio, your home of the championships.
They all descend on the last snag. Johnson secures it, giving his dad the big don't argue. Oh, it's personal now. Dad attempts a late smother, but it's too late. Johnson's already celebrating. Just look at his face. He's chomping at the bit for more. What a beauty.
Make your mark this AFL season with great AFL offers available on your Tab app, online or at your local. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
This station endorses the Commercial Radio Code of Practice, which has been registered by the Australian Communications and Media Authority. The code has recently been revised and a new code is in place. Content on this station is regulated by the code. The code covers areas such as material not suitable for broadcast, news and current affairs, Australian music, live hosted entertainment and the promotion of gambling during live sports. You can obtain a copy of the code by contacting this station or from the Commercial Radio Australia website, commercialradio.com.au.
Julie Snook, can Winx win 14 in a row?
That's Farlap's record. She can't do that.
Winx, 14!
Yvonne Sampson, can Winx win 15 in a row?
She'd have to be Pegasus to win in the pouring rain. She can't do that.
That's 15 for Winx!
Chloe Esposito, can Winx... win 16 in a row?
That's getting closer to the Mighty Black Caviar. She can't do that.
Here's Sweet 16 for Winks.
Don't miss all the excitement of the championships. Saturday, 8th of April.
Sky Sports Radio sets up your punting day with Racing HQ. Every morning at 10, catch the New South Wales Future Race Preview with the best form analysis.
Plus, the latest tab markets.
Only on Sky Sports Radio.
She will rein racer to the lead, 150 out. She will rein is well clear, but Minari, Tulip and Frolic are charging home. It's She Will Rein in front. The $20,000 filly's got the slipper one.
You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres. At Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, day one of the championships, Jimmy, so many highlights. We'll go straight into the first. A country championships final, always a great story out of this.
Careless Choices further back at the furlong pole. It's Freestanding out in front, out by a couple of lengths over Perfect Air, the outside. Freestanding clear at the 100. They're coming Hell West and Crooker, but it's Freestanding for the Northern Rivers in front, and Freestanding will win it. Freestanding has won it. A photo finish between, not for export after all, that also counts.
There you go, Anthony. Collins calling that one. So did a good job. Yeah, did a good job. Well done, Freestanding. And now where is...
For Kathleen, Northern Rivers region, Northern Rivers. Okay. So some good news for that area because they've had so much rain.
That's
up there,
a very good point you make, Raymond.
The first of the group ones, and terrific effort by Peter Snowden's Invader.
He goes for the Doctor now on Summer Passage. It's a length and a half clear to Trapeze Artist. Invader's coming hard on the outside. Invader quickly moves up, takes the lead in the shadows of the post, and Invader goes on to win the English Sires. Ran down the New Zealander, Summer Passage, and Trapeze Artist third, followed by...
What could have been?
Peter and Paul Snowden.
Yeah, P&P. Well, Champagne Stakes?
Oh, I'm not sure. He's done a great job, this horse, but I suppose it's there for the taking if he pulls it. Well, we'll ask Peter shortly if it's still on the radar. The Australian Derby, the best classic in the Southern Hemisphere. This was a thriller yesterday.
Harper's Choice being tackled by John Snow. Then came Hardham, roughing through the centre. Ginger Nuts is still coming with inference. It's John Snow racing to the lead in the Derby. He beat off Harper's Choice. Hardham is surging at them. John Snow in front. John Snow from Harper's Choice's game. John Snow, another New Zealand victory in the Derby. It's John Snow from Harper's Choice. And Hardham in third,
Snow.
Followed by
tell you who does, Murray Baker. What a freak. Yeah, outstanding work, John Snow there. It's $7.50. That paid at tab.com.au.
Very good. Hey, sit back, Jimmy. Listen to Darren Flindell. He nails this. Chautauqua.
English goes after Fellsweep. Russian Revolution's run his race. Further back to Voodoo Lad. It's English and Fellsweep fighting it out. Chautauqua very late. It's English a half length in front. Can he do it? Chautauqua, he's flying. Yes, there's history. Chautauqua makes it three in a row. That is unbelievable. He got up to beat English and Fellsweep.
Great call, Darren Flindell. First horse to win the same group one in three consecutive years since a little... man named Maccabi Diva won the three Melbourne freakish. Cups. $8 million in prize money. Where now, Chautauqua? I know we can ask John Hawkes. But
yeah, I don't know if we go to the All Age. We'll ask John, but I think the Everest is the obvious target now. They've bought a slot too in the Everest.
And I know, I've got to say this. News of during the week that all the slots in the Everest have been sold out for the next 3 years. And I'll tell you what, you know, say what you like about Peter Volandis, and a lot of people are prepared to. What a promoter of his sport. Like,
very
seriously, what a promoter. Imagine, you know what the options are? You could be have the VRC looking after things. Like, seriously. Try something.
Five years ago, where was Sydney Racing, Jim?
Well, what about now? We've got the championships, the Everest.
Record prize money at minimum.
Unbelievable prize money.
Country.
All across the state.
Yeah, just an extraordinary effort.
Yeah.
The Doncaster, the fifth major, we heard from John O'Shea earlier, tremendous front-running effort by It's Somewhat.
It's Somewhat a length and a half clear. Happy Clapper is putting in big strides. It's Somewhat two lengths clear from Happy Clapper. They're well clear from the rest, but It's Somewhat's going strongly. He's kicking in the Doncaster. It's Somewhat from Happy Clapper. It's Somewhat a length clear from Happy Clapper. It's Somewhat hanging on. He wins the Doncaster, a half length to Happy Clapper. Sense of Occasion third, Palantino fourth, followed by Haraki.
So I don't know whether the quaddy went off yesterday, but $43.50 It's Somewhat was paying at tab.com.au. And then the last winner waking moment for John Thompson and Jason Collett, $33.60.
It's a good win too in the last. Goes in the Oaks next week, So,
There you go, but certainly some value around it somewhat. A really good line from John O'Shea about, you know, talking to Zach Purton, what do you want to do? And he said, well, be positive. He said, good, because he's fit. And that's exactly what happened, kept going. Outstanding performance. 1353-53 is the open line number. Just a couple of the idiosyncrasies, Ray, that you've set yourself for. I can't get them on my site, so we'll go to a break. time now for a break.
Set yourself up there.
Oh, hang on, what about this one? Hey, Jimmy, looking forward to hearing what your wrestling names will be. Something we'll work on. No name on that one. Something we'll work on during the course of this ad break.
Did you know that over a third of jockeys are involved in a fall every year? Even the best jockeys can have their lives changed in an instant.
That's why Lucrative Super is a proud partner of the National Jockeys Trust, ensuring strong ongoing financial support for injured jockeys and their families. You'll see the Lucrative Super name on the backside of every jockey. Lucrative Super, the award-winning super fund.
Find out how Lucrative Super can help you. Jump online today and search for Jockeys Backside.
There's a medical problem affecting millions of men, but we don't talk about it. Let's call them performance problems. And problems getting or maintaining you get it. Thing is, most guys would rather suffer in silence than risk an embarrassing appointment with a doctor or chemist. But there may be a cure. And finding it is as easy as talking to the professionals at Men's Health Clinic. Visit mhc.com.au or call 133-MHC to get this fixed today. Men's Health Clinic, 133-MHC.
Get full analysis of day one of the championships from all angles. Hear from Ron Duffacy, Dean Lester and Glenn Munsey. Plus, we take your calls. Punters Postmortem, Monday morning at 9 on Sky Sports Radio.
Favourite ice cream?
Strawberry.
Species of cat?
More of a dog man.
Movie?
Easy. Die Hard. All of them.
Huh. Okay. Your favourite horse to win this weekend?
Well, there's Wildfire. She's a great filly. Oh, and there's Black Truffle. She's a proven galloper. And you can't forget Suave Fella. He always powers home. I mean, that's like...
Can't choose between the horses you love? Bundle all the runners you love in the one price. And if any of them win, you win with Tab's Bundle Bet. Tab, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
If you buy a new fridge or washing machine at Bingley, we've got a surprise for you. We'll deliver your fridge or washer free. We'll unbox it and unpack it free. We'll take away the packaging free. And Mum will take away your old fridge or washer free. So there's no missing trip to the tip for you.
I heard that, Lionel.
Okay, our delivery guys will. But it's only for a limited time, so be quick. Free full-service delivery from Bingley.
Excludes Dasco and Miller. Delivery areas and times are subject to terms and conditions. See in-store or bingley.com.au for full details.
Man!
Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it.
See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
My 3 weeks' worth of the Man Shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
To the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Wrestling names request from Michelle from Dubbo, aka Haystacks Calhoun.
I remember Haystacks Calhoun.
Yeah, so I remember that. No? still working on them, Michelle. Big Jim and Rampaging Ray is what we've come up during the course of that ad break. Lots of SMS coming in too. Morning, Ray. Morning, Jimmy. With 8 out of 10 winners at Randwick coming on speed or just behind the speed, do we need to read into the on-speed bias running into the second day of the championships? Does Ray have any insights on the track bias? And does that show how great Chautauqua's win actually was? That's Benno from Newcastle.
The last point, definitely.
Yeah.
To do what he did out wide where no horse really came from to win. What happens next week, I don't know, Jimmy. Because bottom line is... can't control the weather. A lot of rain has fallen in Sydney to state the bleeding obvious.
Yes.
As distinct from maybe tracks in Melbourne, which have been artificially watered, which then creates a bias.
So that's a human error.
Correct. Yep. Very difficult to sort of control the weather, unfortunately. But we'll go to people on the ground who know a lot more about this than me. And Peter Snowden had a fantastic day yesterday with Akator winning and then Invader in the Group 1 size. Pete's been good enough to join us this morning. Pete, firstly, congratulations on the double yesterday, and with the tracks, it's not an exact science, is it, Pete?
Morning, Ray. Yeah, no, thanks. It's not. There's a day by day, case by case. I think you just got to read what's happening on the day and do the best you can with how it was. I thought yesterday was pretty good, really, considering the amount of rain we had.
Yeah.
And only just really a day for it to dry out. I think we got 2 inches on Wednesday.
That's
so
right.
On track, we've been getting a lot of rain over the last month. I thought it raced pretty good, actually.
Yeah, all right. Well, give us an understanding then, Pete, about the changes you may have said for Akator. You only had one race to look at there, and what you said to Blake Shin, and same too for Invader.
Yeah, well, with Akator, we're always supremely confident that he raced well. It was just we just put it down that really heavy track that he ran on the start before. Like his work at home had been outstanding, so we thought if we don't do something today, we're in trouble because the horse is going as good as he ever could. So
right.
For us, it wasn't a surprise to see him turn his form around as well as he did. But I think on a better track as well, it was definitely had a bit of footing yesterday compared to his last start. The Roseville was it was very deep, and his wheels were spinning, and the horse just lost confidence and he lost his action. But I think yesterday on a better surface, that was the reason for the turnaround.
Gee, it was impressive, Pete. Before we get to Invader, what are your plans then with Akator?
Well, it's a good question, right? I need to talk to the team over the next couple of days as to what their plans are. Look, I always thought it may be going on the pack a plate and just see whether we keep going towards the Queensland Derby or whether we just keep him to a sprint a miler. And I'm still not sure of what I should be doing with him, actually. I just sort of need another run to work out exactly what he is. There's no money starts at all, but I know what he does have when ridden quiet. He's got a devastating turn of foot.
Our
plan was to always run in quiet yesterday, but the pace was pretty steady. Then a couple of runners come out at the start, and the race lost its pace, and he was up a bit close than I thought he would be, but in saying that, they were going very steady, so he was in the right spot for the tempo of the race. But showed that good turn of foot when able to travel within himself early. So still in two minds as to whether to go further or keep him just at a mile, but the pack of plate is an option in a couple of weeks' time.
All right, Pete, let's get to the English size and the performance of Invader. And I guess at this point, is it a case of what might have been a couple of weeks ago with the slipper?
We never know. That's something we'll never know. But full credit to the horse yesterday. It's all about him. He came over like he was lame as. He's a 5 out of 5 lame Friday afternoon, Saturday morning of the slipper.
Right.
And I thought, well, this we get a quick release, we get this abscess to burst quickly, we've got some chance, but sometimes they can drag on for a week and you get an underrun sole, it's a nightmare. But we were lucky enough by Monday, we had him well on the way to get being right. By Tuesday, he was good as gold, and we were able to give him a good jump out here on Friday, last Friday morning, and he would come in and rode him for us, and he said, look, the horse is fine, he had a good blow, he needed that, the right sort of work we had, the time frame we had. Worked a little bit on Tuesday, it's a little bit of maintenance work, but then on he's coming through that work terrific, and he's not a big horse, as you can see. After the post race yesterday, he had that rug put on him that was almost dragged on the ground. he's only a pony, but he's all heart.
You know, he's a great little colt, Pete, isn't he?
Yeah, look, he's a lot of satisfaction, more than what most people know, because it's always good to win a Group One, I'm sure it is, but each horse is different, and I know. This little fella, he's only as big as an ant, but he's got a heart as big as a lion, and he races, he puts everything out there, his action, his head's right out all the time, trying. And all marks to horses that race like that, they deserve everything they get.
Led home a Snitzel trifecta in the size as well. He's having a phenomenal season as a stallion. Yeah. And for your business too, Pete, it must mean a lot when you can win with potentially very commercial stallion prospects, like a Group 1 with Russian Revolution in the Galaxy a couple of weeks ago. Now you win with Invader. On the eve of the sales as well, the English sales next week, and for such a major investor in Australian racing as China Horse Club.
Absolutely right. They deserve everything. It was mentioned to me yesterday. They're big investors. They're huge. And they've got to get results, otherwise it'll fizzle out. So it's the right timing's everything, and to get them just before the sales is probably it's an added bonus. But they're great to work with. There's no pressure. They want wins as much as everyone else, and they enjoy their wins, but it's still they put a lot of money in, and you've got to get results, and it's all right to have a good time with the races, but it's business is business, and you've got to get results. So we've been lucky. We've only been with them a short time, but we've had some success with them, and two very nice horses, especially Russian. Just unfortunately didn't bring his... Like, he's a very, very talented horse, probably one of the best horses I've had, potentially, but he's just got to learn to race better. You know, he's just manners. Yesterday, we're just not going to win A-grade races racing like that, so we've just got to tweak him a wee bit. He's only a young horse, he's an experienced horse. He'll get better. but I'm sure he's good in the future.
Well, we've been marvelling at the performance of Shitaka this morning for a lot of reasons. I'd imagine your response was similar to that of Gay Waterhouse. When I don't know whether you've seen that, Pete, but when English was, look for all money, like he was going to get home, and then didn't quite happen, and Gay was a little disappointed with that, but you've probably answered that around Russian Revolution. I don't want to put too much pressure on you. You know, you talk about your big owners like the China Horse Club and all of that sort of thing, but I just wanted to get an update on how the Hinchinbrook rose-tinted colt is going in the yard.
Hey, Pete, choose your words carefully here, mate.
Wait, what's it out of, Jimmy?
Hinchinbrook rose-tinted.
Yes, it's in here now, actually.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. This is with Tiny, Big Daddy King.
I can tell you what you want to hear, or I can be honest. It's too early. But, no, he's broken really well. He's very quiet. We've got something to work with. He's a nice horse.
What time do you want me out there, say you? Tuesday morning or something, guy. Pete? Just to just start.
We might just wait to get a bit further down the day.
Is it an early? What do you see him as, an early type or?
Oh, it's too early yet. Well, no. Second or third time through, we'll know a bit more about him.
Hey, Pete, I think Jimmy Smith might be one of your worst nightmares about the game.
Sometimes 4 or 5 or 10 heads are better than one. So
exactly.
Yeah. We'll take it all on board.
You know what's going to happen. My name will come up on your phone and you'll think, oh, here we go.
Hey, Pete, I know you've got a big week coming up with the sales, but just quickly, for day two of the championships, how's the stable shaping up for next Saturday?
Yeah, we've got some nice horses, Bradley, especially this Sapphire. The three nice fillies there. We've got Tykintara resuming.
Oh, yeah.
Ravi's resuming. Mm-hmm. And Artistry's second up. She'll be third up there. Second up, sorry. But she's in great order. All three fillies. It's a shame they've got to meet, but it's a perfect race for all three. Mm. I think that's probably the strongest race we'll ever hand in. And we'll also have Defcon will be in the three-year-old race.
Yep. The Arrowfield
Sprint. It'll
be
an Arrowfield Sprint, yep. Mm. And we'll have one in the Turn your horse called
Kiltar
that
won
at Newcastle.
Oh, yeah. Yep, terrific.
Well, Pete, congratulations on yesterday. A couple of winners, including the very impressive Invader in the English size. Always good with your time. We appreciate it, mate. Let's hope we speak again soon.
My pleasure, guys. Have a good day.
Thanks,
Peter Stone there, in conjunction with his son Paul, has done a great job there with the stable and going really well, Raymond.
I like this one from Handyman at French's Forest. Your wrestling name.
Oh, yes.
Jimmy the Word Smith. I like it.
Not bad. Not bad, Handyman. Remember the boxer that fought Mike Tyson? James Bone Crusher Smith.
Oh, that's right.
So
yeah.
A bloke at school, a mate of mine at school, used to call me Bone Crusher all the time. So if I'm Bone Crusher, can be our Waverley star, Raymond. There you go.
I always get beaten up by you.
That's about right. I'm going to beat you in the wrestling when we have that in the ad breaks, don't worry.
1353,
the open line number. John's on the line. G'day, John.
How are you, boys?
Morning, John.
That's the way. Mate, you talking this morning about the Melbourne, how Craig Bellamy gets the best out of his players.
Yeah.
Did you see the game the game last night on TV?
No.
All the children run onto the field, and I think every player in the team picked, they went from player to player, and every player picked the children up.
Yeah,
you know, like seeing the new players that have just gone there.
Mm.
Yeah, so there must be a real family.
Yeah,
thing
real,
going on
real
there,
close man. Bond, isn't there, John, amongst that group?
And through the commentary, when Vossie was saying that Brett Camorley's wife's funeral.
Shani.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, they said that Bellamy's wife got up and spoke, and she was talking that well about how they first went down there and how they got her a job and she loved it. And it must be, of course, it's so isolated, they're that close together, you know, like. They got that bond going down there.
That's a very good point you make, John, because when they started that team, they were nomads that were in outsiders in an AFL town. And I think Lynn Anderson, the wife of Coach Chris, was very close to the Camorleys as well.
Yeah.
And we didn't say it last week, and it was remiss of us to not pass on our condolences to Brett and his family on that. So tragic and just puts everything into perspective.
Horrible. But used to be the Doggies known as the family club. It might be heading down Melbourne way, I think, the family club.
Well, they do it pretty well on the field and off the field. Absolutely exceptional. So appreciate your call, John. That's a strong call too. Mm. So you'll be in the running for our Royal Easter Show four-person pass.
Mm-hmm.
Not just family, but
four
you can
adults,
take four adults
family,
if you like. There's $166 worth of value there.
Great price.
So there you go. Remember, the Easter Show is on between the 6th and 19th of April. And if you want further tickets or further information, go to eastershow.com.au. Next hour coming up, we'll have Zorba. There's someone on the line here wanting to let us know, is it true that he's stepping down from all his roles at Manly in the coming weeks?
Mm-hmm.
Well,
we'll find out.
We might find out.
This is for Manly Al. Get ready to rumble, ladies and gentlemen. Introducing Tombstone Thomas versus Jumpstart Jimmy. Obviously, I'm going to get buried.
Tombstone Thomas. No, you bury people. Tombstone
I'm
Thomas.
Get buried, I think, Chili.
I like Man that, Al. Manly Man Al. That's very... You know what, Manly Man Al? You're leading at the moment.
People in New South Wales, Victoria, Tasmania and the ACT got a little extra sleep overnight as clocks were turned back 1 hour, marking the end of daylight saving. The states returned to the same time zone as Queensland after timekeepers made the switch at 2 o'clock this morning. It means they are now 2 hours ahead of Western Australia and half an hour in front of the Northern Territory. Daylight savings resumes in spring on October 1. Lismore residents have begun assessing the damage after the worst flood in 43 years. As floodwaters started to subside in the northern New South Wales town, some residents on the fringes of the flood started to return to their homes to view the destruction. However, communities downstream remain on alert as the torrent pushes southeast. They include Ballina, Corakai, Woodburn, Cabbage Tree Island and Wardell. A man's body has been found at South Mwillimba on the New South Wales far north coast. Police say it's unclear whether the 45-year-old man's death is flood-related. His body was found at a caravan park on Tweed Valley Way yesterday. Emergency workers were called to the scene just after 1:30. A post-mortem examination is expected next week. Meanwhile, two women have died in New South Wales after being caught up in fast-moving floodwaters, while a 77-year-old man from Eagleby in Queensland perished and three others remain missing. A landslide in Colombia has sent mud and debris crashing into houses, killing more than 100 people. The BBC's Nicholas Rocha has more.
Torrential rains caused rivers in the remote region of Putumayo to swell, sweeping away homes and roads in the provincial capital, Mocoa. The regional governor, Sorrel Arauca, said whole neighborhoods had been swept away in what he described as an unprecedented tragedy. An army officer who's helping coordinate rescue efforts said the main hospital in the city of Mocoa was struggling to cope. President Juan Manuel Santos has promised to send help to the area.
Victoria's Liberal leader Matthew Guy will speak at the party's state conference today following a fiery address from re-elected President Michael Kroger on day one. Mr Guy will give the state address and there will be a motion to increase the fee for membership for the party for an adult rising from $80 to $92. There will also be state motions on drug rehabilitation, mental health, youth offending and an anti-graffiti strategy. Liberal Party donors were slammed by re-elected President Michael Kroger in a fiery speech yesterday. Mr Kroger took aim at the Cormac Foundation, a Liberal Party fundraising arm which has been withholding cash unless he is removed as president. Despite the infighting, Kroger was re-elected unopposed at the party's state council meeting after his only challenger, Peter Reith, withdrew. Also in news, a teenager has suffered serious burns in a firelighting incident in a Sydney backyard. The 17-year-old male was taken to hospital in a stable condition after suffering burns to his face, chest and legs at Ermington. He had reportedly been using methylated spirits to light a fire in the backyard. And the search resumes today for a man missing in waters near Denmark in WA's Great Southern. The 31-year-old was washed off rocks by large swells yesterday afternoon. His 21-year-old female companion managed to return to shore and is recovering in hospital. This is Air News. West Coast coach Adam Simpson is confident he can fix his team's leaky defence after watching his team escape with a 19-point win over St Kilda last night. The Saints were unlucky not to have come away with the win after producing six more scoring shots. Poor goal-kicking eventually cost St Kilda the win, with West Coast prevailing 18-8-116 to 13-9-97. Gold Coast's Conrad Hurrell is readying himself to face off against his former NRL team when the Titans tackle the Warriors today. Hurrell spent four seasons with the Warriors before the Tongan-born centre joined Gold Coast for the 2017 campaign. and it hasn't been smooth sailing after he injured his knee in pre-season. Then during the Titans' round four loss to North Queensland, it looked as if the fitness woes would continue when Hurrell started limping in the match, but he says his ankle is fine. Luke Matthews has defended his Australian men's 800 metres title after a resurgent Josh Ralph pushed him all the way to a dramatic finish in the final 50 metres. Matthews entered the Sydney final having not set foot on a track since February's Nitro Athletics meet. Yet his altitude training in Falls Creek was evident as the 21-year-old surged ahead on the final bend. It was also a positive night for sprint darling Morgan Mitchell and javelin thrower Kelsey Lee Roberts, who have both secured automatic selection for August's titles in London. Australian Independent Radio News.
Don't whinge and whine about the traffic. Think of the wine you have at home. A glass of Windy Peak Sauvignon Blanc Semillon. By De Bortoli, of course. Here's the traffic.
Before you book your next Toyota service, find out in advance how much it will cost and what's included, guaranteed. Search Toyota service pricing for details. Conditions apply. If you're off to the airport, all approaches to the International Terminal, Marsh Street, Airport Drive and Qantas Drive right now, very slow going. The M5 East northbound approach to Marsh Street, very heavy. Elsewhere, Camden Valley Way at Preston's to Campbelltown Road, Casula moving well. Get 50% off all homewares and decorator items at Pogo. Get 50% off wall art, mirrors, candles, vases, ottomans and more. Hurry while stocks last at Pogo, Blacktown and Casula. I'm Solomon Gates, number one in racing on Sky Sports Radio.
Sky Sports Radio, Sydney weather.
Partly cloudy, a 70% chance of showers near the coast. That doesn't sound good, Roman. A 50% chance in the west. Winds southerly, 15 to 25 kilometres an hour, reaching 35 kilometres an hour along the coastline. A maximum of just 22 degrees today. Now, what about at Moorebank, where our good mate John is, and Mwillimbah?
Just on Sydney, the key there, Jimmy, possible rainfall 1 to 3 mil.
Right, so not much.
Not much, no. Which is the good news. Moorebank, good morning, John, from Moorebank, a regular listener. Currently 17 degrees at Moorebank, heading for a top of 20. Now, out at Mwillimbah, Jimmy, have you seen the picture in today's paper of the Mwillimbah racetrack?
Which paper?
The floods, Sunday Telegraph.
Sunday Telegraph, yeah, right. Unbelievable, isn't it? And to all those people on the North Coast and those listening through Queensland, and we know we have lots of listeners up there. Our thoughts are with you. What a very tough time you're going through, but that's just an incredible picture of the Tweed River Jockey Club.
Literally just see the winning post above just a huge river of water. It's been awful up there, so we hope that things are getting better. Currently at Mwillimbah, it's 21 degrees, heading for a top of 25 degrees today.
And then came Flying Artie, the capitalist, the Magic Millions winners, drawn clear in the slipper. Yankee Rose home into second. Takes it out. Capitalist by a half length to Yankee Rose.
On Sky Sports Radio, welcome to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, Mulgoa Road, Penrith. Here's your hosts, Jimmy Smith and Ray Thomas.
Welcome back to the program. Big hour coming up, Zorba very shortly. John Hawkes, wow, Chautauqua, Phil Moss. Well, he'll be in the studio in Liverpool One, so
that's a good guy.
Said that. ZNZ Quiz, of course, we need you to be involved in the ZNZ Quiz, playing for the watch in the team colours of your choice, and Dean Bulldog Richie. But usually at the end of the first hour we have our scratchings. We just got to get some finalisations around
internet
what exactly
problemos.
Yeah, we
fixed up now
a few of those this morning. But right now, for the first time, we say good morning, Tanya.
Yes, boys, not the most riveting way to start your second hour, but nevertheless,
very important information.
The good thing is we can tell Zorba you've been bumped for the scratching.
Exactly. Zorba wouldn't mind if it's me.
Exactly.
That's true.
Very important.
Racing in New South Wales today, folks, is at Wagga and Narromine. We'll start with Wagga, where the weather is fine. The track a good 3. The rail is out 6 metres from the 1400 to the winning post, through the remainder and 17 scratchings. Race 1 is clear. Go to race 2, take out number 8, It's a Lottery. 16, Ozbred Dream. 17, Strategic Lad. And 18, Tally Room. 8, 16, 17 and 18. Race 3 is clear. Out of race 4, take number 8, Zillikana, number 8. To race 5, number 14, Annuelle. Take out 14 from race 5. To race 6, number 7, Wildflower. and 11 Supply Money, 7 and 11. Race 7, take out 4 Sky Mission, 5 Supervision, 7 Leo Leo, 10 Tour Degree, 11 Frenzy Hall, and 14 Enigami, 4, 5, 7, 10, 11 and 14. Race 8, take out 2 Patriot Act and 9 Maristica, 2 and 9. And out of race 9, take 6 One Sun, number 6 out of race 9 at Wagga. Narromine, the weather is fine, the track a good 3, rail true, and 21 scratchings. Out of race 1, number 9, Congrats Baby, and 13, Star for Effort, 9 and 13. Race 2, number 13, Sojourn, and 14, Drop Your Bundle, 13 and 14 out of the second. Out of race 3, number 2, Penny Shares, and 7, Emo Girl, 2 and 7. Race 4, take out 1, More Than Magico, number 1. Out of the 5th, number 3, Thunder Miss, 6, Caliento Doro, and 15, Just Shillin, 3, 6 and 15. To race 6, take out 6, Geroda Choice, 9, Mr. Mile, 17, Dragon's Mist, and 18, Karura Miss, 6, 9, 17 and 18. Race 7, take out 10, Rock of Kayseal, and 12, Fettler's Boot, 10 and 12. To race 8, take out 15, Lucky Striker, 16, Southern Road, and 17, Thunder Cove, 15, 16, 17. And race 9, number 7, Arch Full of Surprises, and 15, Brave J, 7 and 15 out of race 9 at Narromine.
Great job, Tan. Thank you for that. We usually get a tip from you, though, Roman. And I've got to say, just the casual $7 winner last week for the listeners.
Okay,
getting on board.
Week.
Yeah, did very well. Thanks very much.
At Wagga today, race 1, number 1, Denman Diva, to start
race
us off
number
on
one.
A winning note.
Yes.
Then down to race 6. I know you've got to carry a lot of weight, 62 kilos. Number 1, Challenge Accepted. Very hard to beat despite the weight. Race 6, number 1, Challenge Accepted.
Mm-hmm.
Then over at Narromine this afternoon, Jimmy, in race 2, number 12, Tennessee Pasha.
We're
on a terrific race here. Good race first up. And down to race 7, I had this a best bet at both places. Scratch from Wagga, running at Narromine. Race 7, number 7, One Sun.
Race 7, number 7 is your best of the day. It's $9.50 is
good
the quote
each way chance.
Narromine.
Terrific value.
So there's a bit of value there. Tennessee Pasha at $7.50. Short, Challenge Accepted, $2.20. But race 1, number 1, Denman Diva at Wagga Wagga. $4.20. So, as you said, something for the listeners there last week with your $7 winner. And I know he was bumped for the scratching, but Blake by Zorb, I reckon he'd appreciate getting those tips.
He won't mind.
Yeah, absolutely.
Man, Zorb.
Morning, Zorb.
Morning, guys. Hang on a second. I'm just writing them down.
How are you, Pete?
Yeah, I'm really terrific. Great day racing yesterday, Ray.
It was fantastic. Did you have any luck, mate? Or?
Oh, you know, I go exotics, and there were some massive ones yesterday, No. I'll be snipping Kaz today.
Hey,
what a week of football, boys. I spoke last week about the concussion issue, and I worry for the game. I mentioned that some ex greats were in having real problems with dementia and illness, and one of those ex greats was Graham Langlands, and it's significant today that in the Sunday Telegraph there's a compelling story written by Phil Rothfield about the great immortal Graham Changa Langlands, it portrays vividly the problems that ex-players face. My question is, what can we do to help the players in competitions where there are no doctors with the qualifications to handle the problem? You know, for instance, and I'm not just having a crack at two little country towns, but you know, if you're playing for Grabungullin against Braidwood and the local doctor's there, and, you know, he's a GP, probably helping out.
Yeah.
And this would go on all through the country areas. I mean, it could end the game at the lower country level, depending on where it goes in the near future. I think we've got to start doing something at the grassroots level to eliminate a little bit what could go on later on, because we don't want kids dropping out of the game because their parents fear what may happen to them later on. So I think the NRL should be looking at, and the Country Rugby League, making headgear compulsory as a start for all juniors. I mean, let's start to look at the kids at that level, and there's a lot of money flying around the game at the moment with fines for salary caps and also fines for breaching the concussion rules. Well, let's put it back into concussion, and we've already got over $300,000 in fines that have been laid this year. Well, that's $300,000 worth of headgear. But go on a few loaf of breads.
Well, I tell you what, it's funny you mention that, Zor, because my son Austin had his first game of rugby league yesterday, and he gets down there at De La Salle at Caringbah and sees all these other kids in headgear and says, "What's that, Dad?" I said, "That's headgear." Yeah, and he said, "I want one. I'd like to get you one." And you know, and I think to myself, I'm more than happy to pay for you to have some headgear. Yeah. You know, and you know, the other thing about it is this: when I played over in England, if you were knocked out, you automatically had to sit out the next week, and it's something I'd never experienced before. I thought this is strange, because I got knocked out one time, and so this is weird. But it's actually not. They're actually ahead of the curve on that one. So maybe you need to make it mandatory at all forms of football, at all levels. If someone exhibits concussion, they automatically miss the next week.
Yeah, I think something like that, and headgear for kids.
Yep.
Look, this is not something that every ex-player is experiencing. I mean, there is Graham Langlands, and we know that it's been documented that the great immortal Johnny Raper is also, you know, suffering right at this moment in time, badly. And yet, you know, at 81 years of age, probably the toughest competitor of his time. And I can tell you how hard he hits, because I woke up in the Lidcombe Oval dressing room with a short right from him, and that was Noel Ned Kelly, who was heavyweight boxing champion of Queensland before he came south to Sydney to play rugby league. Now, Ned at 81 is as sharp as a tack.
Sharp as
a tack. And you wouldn't know. And,
yep.
And I mean, it doesn't hit everybody, but sadly, too many players. And Jimmy, we're well aware of it, because we've got, you know, we are linked in with those players, as former players, and you care about them, and it's very sad.
Yep.
It's an issue that's not going to go away, is it, boys? And
no, it's not. We've got to do something.
Exactly.
And honestly, what are the league doing with that money? What are the NRL going to do with that money? Put it back into something to do with alleviating this terrible problem.
What a good PR story that is.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Well, you know, it's a no-brainer. What about the wingers in the game?
Wingers
are more than finishers, aren't they, now?
I was going to ask you, Zorb, there's so many exciting wingers at the moment. Like Josh Adokar last night was fantastic to watch versus the Storm. The Raiders, that young Nick Kotrick, how good a player is he going to be? And Jordan Rapana, what a star.
Well, the game is evolving, isn't it? It's different, where the wingers were just finishers before.
Yeah.
You know, fleet-footed, and that's all they had to do. But now they have to be good catchers of the ball.
Yep.
They have to help get their side out of their
some hard
their
yards
territory.
Yep.
Yeah, they've got to make the yards. Now, the wingers that are doing that and that are the most potent are really putting their side on the front foot. The Canberra wingers you just mentioned. Kotrick, terrific young player, 18 years of age.
18.
Barnstorming try last night. And Rapana, who is a terrific player on the other wing. Manly, George Tafua and Aquila Uarte on Friday night were just sensational. Josh Adokar, you mentioned, with Vunivulu, Wonga Brake and Delesniak at Penrith. All these sides that are getting extra work out of their wingers, they're the sides that that you're going to look at to be in the competition at the end of the season. And it's really exciting to watch. I just on that Raiders-Eels game yesterday, and most of the other games as well this weekend, I want to see the referees smile a bit. They've got one of the best jobs going around. They work for 80 minutes each week, and sure, they've got to be very fit, and that takes a lot of hard work. But we've got a lot of sad sacks. They're robot refs. Nobody's smiling. They're getting upset when players ask them a question. I like the fact that we don't know too many of them. I mean, I think anybody in the game would be struggling to name 4 or 5 referees, and I think that's a good thing.
Yeah.
I don't even think their names need to be published. Mm. Let them be almost in the background where they should be, but let them smile a bit. Too many head highs, forward passes, poor control, too many rakeouts that are not picked up. They've put the whistle away this weekend, and who knows what they're going to do when they bring it back.
I reckon there were 4 occasions yesterday in that Raiders versus Eels game where I couldn't believe and Raiders didn't get penalties, and they just said play on. Most of it was Jordan Rapana coming out of dummy half and catching the markers and not getting a penalty for it. But anyway,
it's so blatant, Jimmy.
Yeah,
I mean, it's so blatant. I mean, when you're actually there covering a game, you're going to notice it more than someone sitting at home. But the 10 metres was non-existent in that game.
Yeah, but then you get a 10-metre penalty late in the game.
Exactly,
you know?
Yeah.
No consistency there. Cam Smith, amazing. He's... Well, it was a couple of weeks ago he went past 2,000 points, the first forward to do so. But now he's gone 238 victories in the National Rugby League.
Incredible.
And counting.
Unbelievable. And he goes past, another great player in the game in Darren Lockyer, who had set that 237 mark. But Cameron Smith just keeps on keeping on. And what I think we're going to see a lot of Cameron Smith in the future. He's now president of the Players Association.
Yes.
What an amazing feat for him while he's still playing the game to be in that lofty position. I think we're going to see a lot more of him. He's absolutely superb in front of the camera and he still remains a great player. I want to put a question mark, though, on his great mate and halfback, Cooper Cronk. Cronky was good last night, but he hasn't been as good this year. Just a step behind. Some of those immaculate passes aren't going to the player. He just looks as though he's lost a half a yard. I think this might be his last year. I think he's looking at maybe going into the media where he'll be so good as well. But I wouldn't be surprised if Cooper Cronk at 34, probably looking at life after football now. I don't know anything about it, but it just looks to me like a player in his last year.
He's been a little annoyed about that, hasn't he? You know, but his last year he contracted.
Can I say this, guys? I think it was up until round six last year, and I said to Greg Alexander, we were covering a game, and I said, I don't think he's playing that well. And Greg said, no, I don't think he's playing that well. And then it was a golden point game against the West Tigers at Leichhardt. He kicked the winning field goal. Next thing you know, he ends up with the Dally M.
The scary thought, Sorb, is if he's not playing at his best in the Storm of 5-0, what's going to happen when Cooper Cronk does recapture his best form? Hey, Sorb, Cam Smith's a lay-down Mazier, barring injury, obviously, for number 9 for Queensland Origin. What's your thoughts on the New South Wales number 9?
Well, just on that, too, I don't know who said it during the week, but somebody said that Josh Hodgson was a better hooker than... he was a form hooker in the competition. Well, I don't know what he's been looking at, whoever it was. Cameron Smith's just so far ahead of everyone else, it's not funny. You're right about New South Wales. Our choices are Robbie Farah, Jake Friend, or Damien Cook. Mm. We don't have any other choices.
Jake Friend's a Queenslander.
Well, there you go.
Yeah. Pete Wallace is the other one that's come out.
Pete Wallace.
It's Robbie Farah, Damien Cook, the South Sydney hookers.
Yeah.
I don't think there's anyone else that could get a look in unless they play someone out of position. And that's not beyond the realms of possibility. I mean, they could easily pick a halfback to play hooker the way the game is played today, but maybe Origin's a bit different. Just on milestones, what about the 100 tries to Jared Croker? Oh. Great effort. And 300 games for Chris Heinington. I think that's a wonderful achievement as well. That's, that doesn't come to everybody in our great game.
Zorba. Jared Croker is going to smash Hazem El Masri's record of most points ever scored. It's 2,418. He's at 1,450-odd, and he'll go past it. He's got...
And he'll do it for the one club.
Yeah, which is great.
Yeah, which is what Hazem did.
Yeah.
Which is what Hazem did. I think it's terrific, and certainly looking... they're not looking like they were last year yet, the Raiders. And I see where Ricky Stewart says that they're not going to blow sides away. But been an interesting weekend so far. I mean, the Broncos going down, they're struggling. They're not in the eight as of today. Bulldogs coming back. Sea Eagles, I thought, were great on Friday night against
the
Roosters.
They were.
And certainly Trent Barrett's done a great job in turning that side around.
Now, two things. Congratulations on your Zappa last week. -6.5 the Storm. They made you sweat. The Dragons +1.5, no problem with that one. And then we get this SMS. Could you please ask Zorba, is it true he will be stepping down from all of his roles at Manly in the coming weeks? Would you believe no name on it?
I haven't thought of that, but, you know, if somebody's suggesting that, then it's quite obvious why they're suggesting it, because they've got no name on it. No, I won't be stepping down.
Right, okay.
Debate ends.
Zappa today, please.
The Zappa today, look, I said before I'm not going to tip the Warriors, and I'm not going to. I'm going to take the start, the Titans. I think their pack is good enough to more than match the Warriors, and I think they'll again disappoint the Warriors. So I think they're, 6.5 start?
Spot on.
Yep.
I'll go Titans. Yeah. And I'll go Dragons to cover the start against the Tigers.
Okay, Dragons minus 4.5. Mm.
Dragons minus 4.5 to beat the Tigers, yeah.
Okay, yeah, there you go. I don't mind both of those, actually. I don't mind them. So did you see the Gold Coast training ground this week? The water was a metre short of the crossbar.
Yeah, it was amazing, wasn't it? Just a photo of Jared Hayne there. Well, he's not playing much football, so he might as well go and walk on water.
That's right. That's right. Very good. Good on you, Zorb. We'll speak again next week. Thanks, Pete.
Okay, bye.
There he is, Peter Peters, all the latest in the world of rugby league. 1353 53, the open line number. We'll take a break. We'll be back with John Hawkes.
Han, your Superfund statement came in the mail.
Oh, thanks.
And another one, and another. How many do you have?
Lost track of your super? Paying a fortune in fees? Combine all your funds into one low-fee account with Lucrative Super. It's easy, and I'll do it all for you.
Mail truck's backing up, babe.
Oh, more super statements?
Yep.
Take control of your super with Lucrative Super. You'll see their name on the backside of every jockey this autumn. Jump online today and search for Jockey's Backside.
Consider the PDS on our website before deciding to join.
This truly magical thoroughbred able friend going to win the Champions Bowl in an absolute hand canter. That's the world's best.
Hong Kong, Singapore, Japan, Korea.
The best of Asian racing.
Live and exclusive to Sky Racing.
For the best price on a new Mazda, go and see the man. What man, Jim Smith?
The man from Mazda.
Correct. Penrith Mazda Centre is family-owned and operated with the best selection and the best prices on all new Mazdas, including your favourite, the BT50. You done anything about that yet?
Funny you should mention that, Raymond. Yeah.
Wheels in motion, so to speak.
Oh, nice. I like that.
Of course.
Was that off the top of your head, or you've been training all week for that?
A fluke,
there you go.
The BT50 range gives you more grunt, more torque, and more comfort. So come and see the BT50 specialists at the Mazda Ute Centre, Penrith, with over 40 BT50s on display at Penrith Mazda Centre, Mulgoa Road, Penrith, MD18808.
Rosie, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
My 3 weeks worth of the man shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
They all descend on the last snag. Johnson secures it, giving his dad the big don't argue. Oh, it's personal now. Dad attempts a late smother, but it's too late. Johnson's already celebrating. Just look at his face. He's chomping at the bit for more. What a beauty.
Make your mark this AFL season with great AFL offers available on your TAB app, online or at your local. TAB, we love a bet. Gamble responsibly.
Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Well, I don't know how we got stuck into this, Raymond, but somehow wrestling nicknames has become a bit of a talk topic today. What about this one? Wrestling Ray Thomas or the Tamworth Tornado? And I'm Jiving Jimmy Smith.
You
That's Ron from Moree.
You always fancy yourself as a dancer, don't you?
A little bit,
Jimmy Smith.
Jiving Jimmy Smith. Then Jack from Old Bar. Introducing the tag team champions, Race Replay Ray Thomas. And Jimmy the Quiz Smith. The Microphone Militia. That's Jack from Old Bar.
We need to get this show back on the road.
We do. You know what we need? We need a sensible guest right now. Have you got one for us?
Fortunately, we've got one.
Good.
And yesterday, Jimmy, I reckon when Chautauqua won, it was one of those days in whatever sport, it was the I was there moment, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
And I won't ever forget it, and I reckon this man, he wasn't on track, so he won't forget it.
The I was there moment from the bloke who wasn't there.
He trains the horse.
Oh, I know.
John Hawkes has been good enough to join us this morning. John, good morning, and is that a fair comment, John? That was just one unforgettable win by the Grey Flash.
Yeah, morning, Jimmy. Yeah, it was one of his special wins. I mean, he's been lucky enough to have a few over his career, so hopefully there's a few more left yet. But, it was pretty special because track bias was pretty ordinary yesterday, so it just made it difficult for horses from the back. But, as I said, a lot of people had written him off a little bit too. So, but anyway, it was a great day, and it was great to see him, hit the line and, bounce back again.
So your plans apparently came late about cutting the corner and then
for Tommy Berry. Was that just watching the previous races, John, and getting an understanding of how the track was playing on the day?
I think it was pretty well there from day race one, which I knew. I mean, I watch every race, and you know, not only watching the winner, you're watching, you know, every other horse, every part of the track, and just trying to sum it all up. You know what I mean? And any horse that went wide on the corner, they just did not make ground, and they lost ground actually. And horses that went on the inside sort of, you know, skipped away. Yeah, once you got over the rise and that, then it wasn't quite so bad. But you know, especially, you know, before the corner around the bend, you had to be near the fence. So you know, as I said, he, you know, the blue in the race before, you know, or a few of them did. But anyway, you know, just going wide, well, you just can't do that. You know, at Randwick, since they renovated, it's gone a bit the other way. You had to be out in the middle. Now it's a bit, you've got to be near the inside for whatever reason. I don't know why, but anyway, you've got to work on how the track's playing on the day, as I said. I mean, every track's got a different scenario now, so you've just got to watch it, you know, race by race, you know, week by week, day by day.
Mm. Well, John, taking all that into account, was that his greatest moment, Chautauqua, yesterday?
Oh, you know, lots of ways it was. As I said, people had written him off. We never ever had. And I mean, his form's been excellent this time in. I mean, his first run, I mean, he ran the fastest half mile, 600, 400 and 200 section, you know, sectionals of the day, you know. And then, you know, and then they said he had a poor post rate recovery after his first run. Well, you know, to me, I reckon, that, you know, they should have put it on the vet, not the horse, but... Anyway, that's another story. But and he should have won the Canterbury Stakes. That wasn't one of Tommy's best rides, and he wouldn't have beat Winks, but the track was terrible and he couldn't handle it all. I think not saying he would have beat Winks on the day, but he was back and his wheels were spinning and he was going nowhere, you know what I mean? So and he was out the distance that really doesn't suit him. He's a sprinter. That's what he is. He's a sprinter, a pure sprinter, and you know, that's where naturally you'll stay from here on in. Everybody was keen to get him out a bit further, but you know, as I said, he proved what he is, you know, yesterday. But yeah, it was certainly, as I said, it takes a bit to beat Hong Kong, because when you've got to travel overseas and everything's got to go right, and on the day lots of things went wrong that people didn't even know about on the day, and he still won. So it's pretty hard to beat that. But, you know, in its own context, yesterday was an unbelievable win.
Well, I think that the drop from 1,500 to 1,200 gives even greater weight to the training performance of yourself and Michael and Wayne. It looked like every other horse was standing still at the end, didn't it? So have you had a look, a close analysis, John, of what Chautauqua's sectionals were yesterday?
No, to be quite honest, I haven't got round to the sectionals. I've watched the race quite a few times, but we know what, as I said, we know what he can do. You know, I mean, he's, you know, the times that he runs are just unbelievable. I mean, only three horses can do, you know, run the times that he runs, and he's consistently done it over a long, long period of time. So it's not like he's just a little bit of a flash in the pan.
No,
and,
good point.
As I said, he can't win by big margins, because he's always giving everything in the race an enormous start. I mean, you know, there wouldn't have been too many people thought he could win yesterday if he was, you know, everyone thought he was going
great. Did you, John? At about the 250?
Yeah, I did. Yeah.
Okay.
I could just see the way, you know. I know he was back there, but I just told him, you know, we told him, just get him in his right rhythm, get him balanced. Yes, he had to give him a few cracks to get his mind really going, but you could see he just starting to whine, and once the split came, then he just went into, like, overdrive, you know what I mean? But that's how he races best, you know, when you do that with him, get him balanced, and there's good speed up front, that always helps, but, you know, I mean, English had the perfect run in the race, so I think, you know, she's a bloody great filly, you know, and as I said, she had every chance in the race, but she's still a really, really top filly. Mm. Well, it's a top race, but, you know, as I said, no, we've never lost faith in the horse, you know. I mean, yes, there'll come a day when, you know, well, he's getting older, he's six rising seven, so, but we still were winning Group 1s with Sports. He won the Lightning, I think, when he was eight or nine.
Nine, I think he did, John. Yeah.
9-year-old player, but, well, we look after our horses, and that's why we only, whatever we do, it's always the best interest of the horse. Some people don't care about the horse. They just think they're an animal and just send them around. But we're a little bit different to a lot of people. The horse always comes first with us. And not that we disrespect the owners, but if you don't look after the horse, he won't look after you. So, but no, it was just, you know, a scintillating day, and it was an unbelievable performance. And as I said, he's great for racing. I mean, Winx is great for racing, but he's great for racing in his own way too. You know, he's just got one of those finishes that puts, you know, the hair on the back of your neck.
And the reception he got yesterday, John, went after the race. 20,000 people there, and gee, it was a popular win, Jimmy. They were just going berserk for the Grey Flash.
John, I want you to sort of set the scene for me. You're at home. Are you surrounded by speed maps and race guides and all of that sort of thing, or is it feet up with the slippers on and a cup of tea and maybe a chocolate chip cookie? How does that work?
No, it doesn't work that way. But no, I'm not into speed maps. Never have been and never will be. I do my own little bit of form, you know, through the sportsman and the winning post, and I think you can get too much into, you know, all the form, you know, all the form gurus and all that. I mean, you can put everything you want into it, but there's one thing they, you know, they can't put in there, and that's how the horse is done, work, and everything like that. That's something they can't. Yeah, they might kick us for 8 out of 10 and give someone else 9 out of 10 and so on and so on, but the bottom line is they still don't know how or why or what the horse has done at home. So that they'll never ever know. So you can over analyze, and as I said, I call most of them experts, not experts, because you know, I don't think too many of them tipped too many winners yesterday. So, you know, so, but anyway, that's a, you know, I'm not trying to pot them, but as I said, but when we're out of form and not going well, they're quick to jump on us. So you know, if the trainer's not training winners or the horses are not winning, so, but as I said, forgetting all that, as I said, the more important was, you know, the horse. And as I said, yeah, well, I've got two televisions, you know, going now, because it's a bit awkward now with when you've got to switch channels all the time. So I always have two going, and I'd watch the replay, you know, a couple of times before I even got back to the mountain yard, which that's what I used to do, you know, in the big day, in old days when we had lots and lots of horses. And part of staying home was, you know, it was part of the business was to try and manage it for that reason. You know, I used to do the same Adelaide, Melbourne, Sydney and Brisbane when we had the four states. Well, it's impossible just to, you know, be at the races and do that. And sometimes little things, you know, pick the right part of the track or this or that or whatever, means whether you win or lose. And it was pretty important yesterday, I think. And in the end, he had to ride him right, which he did.
Yep.
Perfect ride. But you know, there's a lot more to it than just getting the horse to the races.
It was a win for the ages, John.
Certainly was.
Outstanding. Congratulations on that. And to the boys as well. And great to have you on the program.
Thanks, Jimmy. Thanks, Ryan.
Thanks so much.
There he is, John Hawkes. And we've got to read this one out too. Don't let John play it down. This is an SMS that's come in. Never thought I'd see a better TJ than Black Caviars. But the grey did it yesterday. That's from Crossy.
That's a very, very good SMS from Crossy.
Did you know that over a third of jockeys are involved in a fall every year? Even the best jockeys can have their lives changed in an instant.
That's why Lucrative Super is a proud partner of the National Jockeys Trust, ensuring strong ongoing financial support for injured jockeys and their families. You'll see the Lucrative Super name on the backside of every jockey. Lucrative Super, the award-winning super fund.
Find out how Lucrative Super can help you. Jump online today and search for Jockey's Backside.
There's tough. And there's a new breed of tough. Introducing the new Amarok Core 4x4 from only $42,990 drive away. This impressive workhorse comes with a rigid ladder frame chassis, the largest tray in its class. And now with a new cabin design, App Connect, and rear view camera, it's a whole new breed of tough. Offer ends April 30. Conditions at Volkswagen.com.au.
Thought was a chance that Moss wouldn't come in. However, he's in the house. ZNZ Jewellers has been a Hurstville institution for over a quarter of a century. For more than 20 years, they've been the source of official NRL watches, rings, pendants and cufflinks. So, if you want the official watch of your team or if your business needs corporate gifts of distinction, if you're looking for an engagement or a wedding ring, or if you want jewellery remodelled or repaired, See Alan and the team at ZNZ, Westfield Hurstville, or visit ZNZ.com.au. That's ZEDNZED.com.au. Proud sponsors of the St. George Junior Referees.
All covers, all grounds, all thank you. Franco won the Champions Stakes and lived up to the fight.
International racing at its very best, 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network. So Country 2017, the hottest country tracks all on one album. Featuring the McClymonts, Adam Harvey and Chris Stapleton. 38 must-have hits from Miranda Lambert, Catherine Britt, Alan Jackson and Sam Hunt. There's Carrie Underwood and Kelsey Ballerini. All the superstars, all the hits are on So Country 2017. Available now. Listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Phil Moss is in the house, which I'm none too pleased about.
What a fantastic morning, guys.
Here he is.
Morning.
He's bounced into the studio. How are you, Mossy?
Bounced in on 3 points for Liverpool and 1 point for Man U, and what a great night of football.
A six-point gap now, Phil.
Six-point gap.
Good
two
guys.
Games in hand.
Well, the two games in hand are now null and void.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter what happens.
Yeah.
So
let me say this. I'd rather be in your position than mine.
Oh, concession at
last. Yeah, there's a concession there. Before we get to that, let's go A-League. And, mate, where do we... I know they haven't done anything from... Well, they've won the Premiership plate and... You know, Premiership's going to be the most important thing after that. But where do we start thinking about Sydney FC and the history of the A-League as you know, one of the good, very, very good sides?
Well, their main motivation is to become the best ever.
Mm. Right.
The best ever mark would be 66 points achieved by Brisbane in that 2010-11 season under Ange Postecoglou.
Yeah.
It was an 11-team competition, don't forget. Now it's a 10-team competition. So they're 4 points adrift of that mark. Well, 65 points is the mark, but 66 obviously makes them the best ever.
How many games?
Two games to go. Yep. So they're right on track for that. And you know, you got to give credit to Graham Arnold and his staff for really finding different ways each week to motivate the players with something other than silverware.
Mm.
And they're those little steps, you know. It's been the Invincibles. It's been the greatest points tally ever in A-League history. It's been the front four reaching double figures each, which Alex Bross did last night.
Right.
He got his 10th goal. Bobo's on track now to maybe give the Golden Boot a shake. He's on 14 goals. Berisha's on 18. Melbourne Victory play Wellington tonight, so he may score there. But nonetheless, Bobo has proved an outstanding success this season when there were some serious questions asked in pre-season.
Phil, how did Sydney FC play last night? And the reason I ask that is because the Wanderers, the only team to beat them this year in the A-League. They're scoring goals, they're winning games, momentum is with the Wanderers now after a wretched season, but they're coming to the finals on an absolute roll. So how are Sydney FC playing?
Yeah, it's a great point, Ray. Watch out for the Wanderers, beware the Wanderers, because they have been wounded a bit this season by the amount of criticism.
Yep.
They've been very inconsistent, but Tony Popovich seems to have got them going well at the right time of the season. That game that they beat Sydney FC in the last derby, Sydney FC were the better side on the night,
yep,
had the better chances, but Western Sydney Wanderers found a way to win that game.
Yeah.
That's right.
Mm.
So, and there was no you know, jumping around by Sydney FC. They just got on with it after that result. And so both teams look as though they will go into the finals in great momentum, which could prove an absolute boon for the A-League. But Sydney FC they are the perfect definition of a well-oiled machine. And I mean that on and off the field. I've been to watch them train a few times. All those one percenters that every coach looks to tick those boxes, they've got it. And everyone is pulling in the right direction. You can see the personality of the players coming through. Western Sydney Wanderers, great result last night up in Newcastle, which we tipped here on Friday would be the case. But it was without Brendan Sanilat.
He's a big key.
Who's been scoring for fun.
Yes.
Robbie Cornthwaite, the captain on the night, and the defender pops up with two goals from set pieces. So, you know, that's great that other players are scoring goals. Josh Sotirio with the other one. So, it's fantastic for the A-League. It's fantastic for the finals to have Sydney and Western Sydney firing at the right time of the season.
We're going to speak with Josh Brilliante a little bit later on in the program too, so we'll get an understanding of those little one percenters that you talk about from inside. You make a very good point here, Mossy. If you're a promoter of the A-League and you say, right, who do I want Sydney FC there or thereabouts. I want Melbourne Victory. I want the other Melbourne side, City. Brisbane, yes. Wanderers, yes. And Perth. Like the six
spread.
Biggest
the
clubs with the population mass are there in the top six. So it's a perfect setup.
Yeah, it's a perfect storm.
Yeah.
It really is. And that's exactly what the bean counters would want,
yes.
Promoters would want.
Yep.
And we're set for... It's interesting. It's been a... Sydney FC, in a lot of regards, have saved this season because it's been somewhat of a plateaued season of the A-League. There was no massive names that came to the... Timmy Cale was
Cahill.
Basically carrying the launch of the A-League on his own shoulders. And he hasn't had a brilliant season by his playing standards, but he's been fantastic promotionally for the A-League, of course. But to finish the season with a bang with those six clubs in the finals could be a massive boon for the game moving forward.
Two important games today, Phil. Two teams with finals ambitions. Obviously, they're there.
That's right. Yeah, Wellington put five past Newcastle last week with a team that was pretty much at half mast because they were missing all their internationals. They get all their internationals back, which is about five or six of them. Melbourne Victory get their three big players back.
Only New Zealand players, though, right?
Of course, yeah, that's right. Just the shaky Isle boys, but still some real quality there.
No, keeps them off the government handout here.
But Melbourne Victory, Berisha, Rojas, Troisi. Oh, mate, he's great. I like, he's had no sleep, Ray. Give him
a
chance.
Yeah.
But, yeah, it should be a cracker, this one. Look, Wellington have won once in 15 visits to Melbourne, so I can't see anything but a Melbourne Victory win here. Troisi coming off contract. The noises are getting louder and louder that every club in the A-League that can afford him wants him.
Yep.
Melbourne Victory would be very, very keen to tie him down quickly. He's in great form.
What if they don't get him? They're a big club. Could they get a big, big name?
Yeah, look, they could, of course. What would be alarming for me if they don't sign him is the fact that last year they lost... Okay, Finkler, you know, he was probably getting the end of his time at Melbourne Victory, but Barbarousis left last season when he was playing very good football.
You don't want
to be losing... key players that have really helped you get to where you got during that season. Creative players, goal scorers, people who excite the crowd. You don't want to lose two in two seasons.
Yeah. And the Brisbane Mariners game too?
Yeah, well, this one's all about Brisbane making hay while the sun shines because with Melbourne City slipping up, Brisbane can jump into third spot, which is that ACL qualifying spot. I've actually tipped them during the week. I tipped Brisbane to finish the season third, and we actually opened a market on that, so punters can get on that if they wish. Central Coast Mariners, it's all about avoiding back-to-back wooden spoons. Mm. And they've got Newcastle next week in the F3 Derby in the penultimate round of the A-League. So
just about decides it there.
A massive grand final for the Mariners and Newcastle next weekend.
But you think it's Raw, so you've got Victory $1.50 into Raw $1.37 might be the all up there. And just to let me clarify what you said just then, you've come in here, now started talking to the boys down there framing markets about what they should be doing. Is that right?
Mate.
Am I just clearing that up?
You've got to be proactive. You've got to own the segment.
What's the market then, Phil, after the Merseyside derby result in the morning?
Stop
what's
it.
The market we get when we get our cartons?
Tell you what, your odds on. I'm nearly going. I'm straight to Dan Murphy's this afternoon.
What about Coutinho? Gets the LFC private jet back from international duty and pops up with a fantastic goal.
Is that right? The private jet back?
Unreal,
that's ridiculous.
Unreal.
As they do.
Is it true? Because I was thinking about this midweek. Is it true that Man United still fly on three planes?
Oh, of course.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Following the air disaster, is it Munich? Was it Munich
air disaster?
Air disaster. Yeah, that's right.
But, I mean, that's what I read and hear.
Yeah.
I don't know that for a fact.
Don't all fly in one plane.
What about your manager overnight, mate? They draw.
What's he done?
Right?
Now?
Frustrating draw. So he smashes the post-match interviewer to take all the attention off the result and put it all on him.
Right.
Deflection at its best.
He's not bad, is he?
Oh, he's fantastic.
He's not bad, is he?
I love him.
Yeah.
Such an actor.
Yeah. All right. Chelsea, they're just...
It's a surprise result. All in 11 minutes,
Stumble.
By the way.
What have we got? Stumble.
We've got 9 matches remaining. Is it 38? Yeah. They've played 29.
Yes.
Liverpool have played
30.
Liverpool played 30. Yeah. That's right. We've got two games in hand, Man United. Got to remember that.
Everton have played 30. They're down to seventh now, but... Yeah, look, it's a stumble for Chelsea. There's no doubt about it. All three goals scored in the first 11 minutes.
Wow.
What an opening to the game.
Hang on 2-1, Crystal
Palace. Yeah, that's right. That Crystal Palace's fourth win in a row. Not bad for them.
Now, I know you would have spoken about it with the boys midweek, but the Socceroos' performance on Tuesday night, the step forward.
It's a win, Phil.
Yeah, look, they looked more comfortable in their skin on this week than they did the week before.
Right.
And bearing in mind the week before was an away game, this was a home game, but the change of system from Ange, risky time to do it.
Mm-hmm. That change of system came late into that game last week you're talking about too, didn't it? It was only happened like 2 days beforehand.
That's right.
Yeah.
My opinion of this was if Ange had that as part of his big plan to change the system to a back three, why not do it before the Thailand game, before Christmas, when he had the players in camp for 10 days.
So why now then, Phil?
Well, he's come out and said it was all part of his evolution of the team and to challenge the players and the staff and the football public in Australia and the media to start talking about systems and football rather than issues and politics. World Cup qualifications on the line.
Mm.
Let's get there.
Do you believe that? That what Andrew's saying, that's why I did it?
Look, I think he's done it because he's looked at the fullback areas and thought, We struggle in those areas.
Right.
So we need to come up with a system. And look, the system that he's come up with, all you need is one of the holding midfielders to drop into the back line to make a back four when they haven't got the ball.
Yeah. Right.
So it can be simply dealt with tactically.
Mm-hmm.
But players are players. You know, they're simple human beings. They just need simple job descriptions, roles and responsibilities.
Don't complicate it. Yeah.
Once you complicate it, there's some that can handle it, there's others that can't.
And just on that Manchester United thing, you realise that Ray and I don't ever drive to, say for example, if we go to Wellington, we never drive in the same car. just in case.
That'll do.
the Man United of radio.
We've got to come from different parts of the state normally.
One's
that
in
day.
The Tabcorp helicopter, the other's in the Sky Racing helicopter.
Oh, please. Oh, I wish that was the case. Good on you, Mossy.
Been a pleasure, guys. Off to Fox Sports News now. Tune in 9:30.
There you go. Obviously, have that going. Mute that, and then keep us going. We're up till 10 o'clock today, Moss.
See you guys.
Yeah.
See you, Phil.
There he is, Phil Moss, with all the latest in football, as they say, in the world game. Guess what, Raymond?
I've forgotten the score check.
Well, I haven't. 8-4 I lead. 8-4 I lead, and we're up again. So it's the ZNZ quiz. Time for you to be a potential winner on your Sunday morning. You can win the watch in the team colours of your choice. So call now. If you'd like to be a part of the ZNZ quiz, that number is 1353 53.
Hey! Breezy, mate, you're looking good. What have you been up to?
Just been shaking it.
Shaking it?
Man shaking it. See, Murph, you can lose the beer gut without losing all the beers.
I'll drink to that.
My 3 weeks' worth of the Man Shake, and I'll throw in an extra week for free. So buy now at themanshake.com.au.
AspiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off products, including wall and freestanding ovens, appliance packages, cooktops, sinks, tapware with the new black chrome finish out soon, plus vanities, toilet suites, basins, freestanding and drop-in baths, and so much more. AspiVita.com.au. 2-year warranty, over 50 service locations, with free delivery to most areas. AspiVita.com.au. Up to 70% off. An Aussie company since 2007. That's AspiVita.com.au.
Hun, your Superfund statement came in the mail.
Oh, thanks.
And another one, and another. How many do you have?
Lost track of your super? Paying a fortune in fees? Combine all your funds into one low-fee account with Lucref Super. It's easy, and I'll do it all for you.
Mail truck's backing up, babe.
Oh, more super statements?
Yep.
Take control of your super with Lucref Super. You'll see their name on the backside of every jockey this autumn. Jump online today and search for Jockey's Backside.
Consider the PDS on our website before deciding to join.
Great staff are always the most important element of business. Nova Employment is a free disability employment service that takes the time to find you the right candidate.
I'm Karen from Currajong Kitchen. We've hired many employees from Nova Employment. They take the time to understand our recruitment needs and match up great workers with ability.
So if your business could benefit from great staff with ability, join the over 15,000 Sydney businesses who have made the switch. Visit novaemployment.com.au.
Window shopping takes on a whole new meaning at Wideline.
Take a closer look at Wideline's showstopper of a showroom at Ricebury.
That's where you'll find an extensive range of residential, architectural and commercial aluminium windows and doors.
And you can't look past their timber windows and doors either.
Customer parking and a dedicated kids room make for hassle-free window shopping at Wideline.
Now open at 593 Botany Road, Rosebery.
Only 700 metres from Green Square Station.
Wideline.
If you buy a new fridge or washing machine at Bingley, we've got a surprise for you. We'll deliver your fridge or washer free. We'll unbox it and unpack it free. We'll take away the packaging free. And Mum will take away your old fridge or washer free. So there's no messy trip to the tip for you.
I heard that, Lionel.
Okay, our delivery guys will. But it's only for a limited time, so be quick. Free full-service delivery from Bingley.
Excludes Dasco and Miller. Delivery areas and times are subject to terms and conditions. See in-store or bingley.com.au for full details.
All covers, all grounds, all beaky. Franco won the Champion Stakes and lift the fight.
International racing at its very best. 7 days a week across the Sky Racing Network. You're listening to the Big Sports Breakfast Weekend, brought to you by Penrith Mazda, the BT50 experts. More than 300 new Mazdas in stock over 5 acres at Mulgoa Road, Penrith.
Yeah, time now for the quiz, courtesy of Z&Z. Just an update on that score, Raymond.
8-4. 8-4, James.
Is that for a case of beer, that one as well?
It is, isn't it?
Right, yeah, okay. All right, now, player one is Martin, and he's playing for me. G'day, Martin.
How are you, mate?
Yeah, very well. Here we go. Let's go. Question one. Who led the NRL in try assists? Heading into round five, was it Luke Keary, Daly Cherry Evans, or Cody Walker?
Cody Walker.
Oh, he had 6. Daly Cherry Evans had 7.
He had 5 in 1 game.
Five in one game, that's right, against the Bulldogs. Okay, Martin, here we go. Which team was on top of the Holden Cup ladder heading into round five? Was it the Storm, the Panthers, or the Cowboys?
Panthers.
Okay, Martin. Here's the last question, Martin.
The Storm.
We wish all the best with this one. Which of the following sports has not been contested at an Olympics? Basque pelota?
Jeez, what's that?
Not sure. Basque pelota? Squash? Or croquet?
You've got to be joking.
No, I'm not. It's ridiculous. And if you want to blame someone, Martin, it's producer Jeremy.
Thanks, Jeremy. Okay.
Great game.
Yeah.
Oh, no, that's actually wrong.
Yeah. Sorry, Nick.
Can we find out what Basque pelota is?
Yeah, we'll have to find that out. Yeah. That could be my wrestling
Spanish
name.
Dish or something.
Hey, Basque pelota.
It rolls off the tongue, doesn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah.
Okay, so Martin, your score there, Jimmy, was?
I was just going to say, Martin, stay on the line, but seriously, don't bother, mate, because you've got none from three. So you get off.
All right.
Who's your man?
Well, Steve's on the line. Steve, good morning.
Morning. How are you, boys?
Terrific, Steve. Hey, Steve, the good news is, mate, we only need to get one right. So best of luck, Steve. Question number one, who led the NRL in kicks in play heading into round five? Was it Sean Johnson, Cooper Cronk, or Mitchell Pearce?
Cooper Cronk.
Oh, well, Cooper Cronk too, yeah.
It could be a race to the bottom.
Actually, Sean Johnson. I would have gone Cooper Cronk, yeah. Anyway. All right, Steve, we'll get this one, mate. Question number two. Which team was in last place on the Holden Cup ladder leading into round five? Was it the Warriors, the Tigers, or the Raiders?
I'll go the Warriors.
Outstanding, Steve.
No.
That's all that matters.
No.
It doesn't matter. Well done, Steve. You're over the line. Hey, Steve, what team do you follow, mate?
I follow Manly, but I was going to try and get a Cronulla one because I've got a mate that's doing it pretty tough with cancer, and I thought I'll sort of send it down to him.
No problem,
Steve.
We'll do
fantastic,
that for sure, mate.
Fantastic.
Good on you, Steve.
I was going to say that was the least emphatic win ever that we've seen in the quiz, but... given your generosity, top of the pops, as you say. Mate, stay on the line, Steve. We will send you out a Sharky's watch.
Congratulations, mate.
Yeah, well done.
Thank you.
Well done. Good on you.
Hope your friend gets better, Steve, too.
Absolutely. So. Well said. So, Steve is our winner. The Cronulla Sharks watch for his mate, who's doing it a bit tough with cancer at the moment, is heading your way. All courtesy of our great sponsor, Z&Z. Remember, Alan and the team. Check them out online if you want to do that. Z&Z.com.au. That's ZEDN.com.au.
I've checked what Basque pelota is. I thought it sounded like a Spanish something.
Yeah.
It's a Spanish court sport.
Right.
The ball using one's hand, a racket, a wooden bat, or a basket.
Right. So a number of variations
are
there of
Basque
pelota. You still think it's appropriate as a wrestling name?
There it is, against the wall. There you go. Okay.
Oh, yeah.
Oh.
Well, that won't catch that, on.
That's become a roaring success.
I'd hate to be the promoter of Basque Pelota.
Yeah, here we go. Tanda's
hand. Hey, you know what? Hmm? You want to make it hard, Peter Volandis? Here, promote that sport.
He might pass that one on to you. Tennis's hand is Basque Pelota is the name of a variety of court sports played with a ball using one's hand, a racket, a wooden bat, or a basket against a wall, or more traditionally, with two teams face to face.
So you know what this is doing here by providing more content for the program.
No,
besides that,
okay.
We're just encouraging producer Jeremy now.
That's outstanding.
Have ridiculous questions.
You can't have the obvious.
Ridiculous question number three for the second player has not been used. So you'll be able to carry that over to next week, Jeremy. So good work on that one. You were talking about weird rituals like Nadal's. What about Jamie Soward walking in a circle before kicking for goal? Very strange. Tim from Green Valley. Good point. He did. We used to call him in our house the little drummer boy because he looked like he was the little drummer boy, didn't he?
Boys. Yeah. Given Jimmy's build and his football career and my flowing hair and lofty and media career, I don't know about that, I have to support the perfect description of the earlier nomination of Bone Crusher Smith versus Waverley Star Thomas. So, in other words, I get beaten up for fun.
You're the Waverley Star. Good on you, Marcus. That's a good one. And less appropriate, I thought, but maybe more accurate, is this one that came in. Where have we got it here?